B&T Satellite is offering to our 55-plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at B&T Satellite. Call 241-3474. 241-DISH. B&T Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH, and find out more from B&T Satellite.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to today. We will get to Joe Biden flubbing on race. I promise. It's just a thing dude does. But we begin today with the left's great mission this week, which is to link every conservative with the El Paso white supremacist terrorist by suggesting that conservative policy is white supremacism. And this is such a mistake. It's such a mistake. Because, again, white supremacism is a thing, a very dangerous thing. The alt-right is a thing. It's a dangerous thing. And it's a terrible thing. And these things have specific definitions. White supremacists believe that white people are inherently superior. White nationalists believe that white people should be separate from members of other races. All of this cuts against the fundamental bases of Western civilization and the American Revolution and the Constitution of the United States. It cuts against the idea of a more perfect union in which the rights that were guaranteed by the Declaration of Independence are broadened out appropriately to more and more people over time, as they have been throughout American history, through blood and pain and toil and through tears and difficulty and suffering. Right? All of the ideology of white supremacy is existent, it's evil, and it has malignant effects, not just on the body politic more generally, but it has malignant effects when it comes to violence that sometimes attends white supremacists, as we saw in this white supremacist terror attack in El Paso. But being specific about our definitions allows us to create unity. Nearly all divisions in life come from inability to be clear about the terms that we are defining. When you have a fight with your spouse, half the time it's because you're not understanding each other. You're seeing right past each other. You're talking right past each other. The same thing is true in business. When you have business disputes, usually it's because there was lack of clarity at the very beginning. Being clear about the definition of terms is what allows us to be on the same side. It's what I've always said about the left's take on quote-unquote institutional racism. If the left wants to point out a policy that is racist, I will fight it along with them. If the left is going to point to a disparity and then just blame quote-unquote institutional racism, racism that is just out there, miasmatic, hovering out there in the universe, then no, I can't be with you because that doesn't have a definition, especially if I believe that you are going to use your definition-free property in order to attack people that you just disagree with politically. We saw this yesterday with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her long tweet thread about white supremacy, in which she talks about the evils of white supremacy, how it's a virus, how you could be subconsciously a white supremacist or suffering from white supremacy, how even if you are anti-racist, you could be suffering from white supremacy, how it's a virus that lies dormant. You may not know that you're a carrier. It was all deliberately vague. And the reason it was deliberately vague is so it could be broadened out and applied to people so that they could be tarred by AOC and her allies as racist and white supremacists. This is a pattern. The media have been doing it for years. Folks on the political left have been doing it for years. And the latest example is the left's attempt to paint immigration enforcement as white supremacy. So, I am very much libertarian on immigration in a perfect world. In a perfect world where it's not about becoming a citizen, it's just about coming in, free flow of labor, people moving in and out to work, I really don't have a problem with people moving in and out of countries to work. Like, the freedom of travel provisions that they have in the EU are not terrible provisions so long as there's some level of cultural assimilation to the country in which you move. Like, there are certain factors that militate free and open immigration. Those include assimilating to the culture into which you move, making sure that you're not on welfare payments, right? There are certain things that militate against that, but free and open immigration served the United States quite well, particularly in the early 20th century when waves of immigrants were coming in, being assimilated, not reliant on welfare. Okay, with that said, being strong on immigration right now, particularly on our southern border, and ensuring that the people who come through are processed correctly, that they are not falsely claiming asylum, that they are going to be benefits to the United States and not detriments to the United States, that they are coming in to assimilate and become part of American culture and be part of the great American dream, Right? That is something we need to do. We do need to distinguish who is coming across our border, because any country, any sovereign country, has to be in control of who gets to enter the country. This has been true for every country throughout the history of the world. And whenever people cite the Bible and say, well, you have to treat the stranger well, of course you have to treat the stranger well. One of the provisions of the Bible is also that strangers have to treat you well. I mean, they're supposed to come in and respect the sovereign entity into which they are moving, obviously. So folks who are saying we need stronger border policing, particularly because there are high crime areas along the border in which drug cartels have an enormous amount of sway, because there are people coming into the country who are disproportionately reliant on welfare programs because they're disproportionately poor and disproportionately undereducated, right? All of that militates against a free and open border that would exist in the utopian libertarian world of the imagination of libertarians. Okay, so being tough on the border does not mean that you're a white supremacist. Notice, nothing about this has to do with race. Not a single word I have said here has to do with race, because it doesn't have to do with race. I wouldn't care if we bordered a poor country on our southern border that was white. It doesn't make a difference to me. If there are people who are crossing the border who shouldn't be crossing the border, then, of course, we should make sure that we have better border enforcement. What the left is attempting to do now is broaden out the white supremacist label so that they can include within it anybody who is tough on immigration. And this just underscores that they don't actually take white supremacism particularly seriously on the radical left. If they did, they would be specific about targeting it so we could all fight it. It's like going to a doctor, and the doctor knows that you have cancer, but instead of just giving you the treatment for the cancer, the doctor says, you have a condition. And you say, well, what condition do I have? The doctor says, doesn't matter. The broad treatment is a broad spectrum of things that I want to do to you and charge you for. You say, well, right, but what do I have so we can fight it together, so we can decide on the treatment together? And actually, it doesn't matter what you have, it's bad. Okay, this is not helpful. Not only is it not helpful, it's hurtful, because it allows malignant white supremacism to creep into the mainstream. See, one thing that white supremacists want, and if you've spent any time looking at the materials that they distribute, which I have since they target me personally, what you see is they are constantly looking for a broader ship to latch onto. They are leeches. They're barnacles, and they clamp on to broader ships, and then they try to pretend that the broader ship is them, right? They've done this with Trump. This is why you see white supremacist groups abroad wearing MAGA hats. It's not because they agree with everything Donald Trump says. It's because they want the media and members of the left to believe that Donald Trump is the leader of their movement, so they seem broader and larger than they are. And when the left suggests that everyone is a white supremacist secretly, that everyone is on board with it, that the white supremacist position is the hard-on-illegal immigration position, and that everybody who embraces that position is secretly a white supremacist, what they're actually doing is giving all sorts of credibility and credence to white supremacists, which is what white supremacists want. White supremacists want people to believe, disaffected young men, to believe that they are more powerful and more influential than they are, and that they are speaking truths that others just don't want them to hear, right? Their goal is to make it seem as though they are an underground group of people who have spread their tentacles throughout the ideologies of mainstream American society, but are really speaking the truths underlying those tentacles. And the left right now is pushing that agenda, at least insofar as exacerbating the reach of white supremacists by linking it with mainstream policy. That's a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. Well, in a second, we're going to get to how so many members of the left, I think many of them unintentionally, are doing this with regard to illegal immigration. But first, for weeks now, my friends over at FreedomWorks and I, we've warned you about the dangers of putting price controls on America's medical system. Price controls generally are bad policy. They do not actually achieve their sought ends. Very often, people are trying to bring down prices. Instead, they create unintended shortages. You have situations where innovation is quashed. You can't really handle that in the medical field very well. It's not going to work out well for patients, for doctors, for anybody. Price controls on medicines and services could set medical research back decades and lead to shortages of vital medicines and give the government even more control over your health care. Well, a lot of folks on the left have not stopped that assault on the healthcare system. Right now, Democrat Ron Wyden is trying to rush a new price control bill through the Senate. I'm hoping you'll help us stop him. Go to don'tcapmycare.com. Sign the petition to stop Senator Wyden from capping your care. It's not just Democrats supporting this nonsense. There are some Republicans who do. It's not great. Again, price controls are not going to achieve exactly what they seek to achieve in this space, because they rarely do. That's why I'm asking you to go to don'tcapmycare.com, stop Congress from capping your care, sign FreedomWorks' petition. That's don'tcapmycare.com. Okay, so how are members of the media attempting to broaden out the white supremacist label? Well, they're attempting to do it with regard to illegal immigration, particularly surrounding a raid that just happened in Morton, Mississippi. So listen to how the Associated Press reports this. U.S. immigration officials raided 7 Mississippi chicken processing plants on Wednesday, arresting 680 mostly Latino workers in the largest workplace sting in at least a decade. Now, this is nothing new. Under George W. Bush, there were workplace stings, and there was a very famous one in Postville, Iowa, that resulted in the arrest of several hundred illegal immigrants. So workplace raids that are designed to go after employers who are employing illegal labor, those have long been a part of American life. This is part of law enforcement. Sometimes you raid businesses that are violating the law. The raids were planned months ago. They happened just hours before President Donald Trump visited in El Paso, Texas, the majority Latino border city, where a man linked to an online screed about a Hispanic invasion was charged in a shooting that left 22 people dead. Okay, so look how the AP is trying to link together the white supremacist shooting with basic U.S. immigration enforcement and the Trump administration. And then they quote Angelica Sales, executive director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, saying, quote, on a day when we seek unifying words and acts to heal the nation's broken heart, President Trump allows so many families and communities to be torn apart. About 600 U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents fanned out across the plants operated by 5 companies surrounding the perimeters to prevent workers from fleeing. And then all of the media attention has focused in on the family members who were left behind, who were not caught up in the raid. The AP says those arrested were taken to a military hangar to be processed for immigration violations. About 70 family, friends, and residents waved goodbye and shouted, let them go, let them go. Later, 2 more buses arrived. A tearful 13-year-old boy, whose parents are from Guatemala, waved goodbye to his mother, a coke worker, as he stood beside his father. Some employees tried to flee on foot but were captured in the parking lot. Mississippi is the nation's 5th largest chicken-producing state, and the plant's tough processing jobs have mainly been filled by Latino immigrants eager to take whatever work they can get. Chicken plants dominate the economies of Morton and other small towns east of Jackson. Matthew Albence, ICE's acting director, told the AP in an interview on Wednesday, just down the road from the coke plant, that the raids could be the largest ever workplace operation in any single state. Asked about their coinciding with Trump's visit to El Paso, Albence responded, this is a long-term operation that's been going on. He said raids are racially neutral and based on evidence of illegal residency. He said that the companies involved could be charged with knowingly hiring workers who are in the county illegally and will be scrutinized for tax, document, and wage fraud. Bill Chandler, then they start quoting folks saying that basically this is racist. Bill Chandler, executive director of the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, calls the terrible raids another effort to drive Latinos out of Mississippi and blame Trump for fanning racism with past incendiary comments about immigrants. So there's an attempt now to tie basic border policy that Trump is espousing to white supremacy. And you can see this in the media coverage. There's this massive raid, and the focus isn't on illegal immigrants being arrested for violating the law. The focus is on the effect on the families. The idea is if we show enough crying children on TV after people are arrested for violating the law, then we will shift the policy. You don't see these sorts of stories after there's a big drug bust, for example. After there's a big drug bust, cocaine ring, people are dragged away to jail. You don't see them focus in on the kids still standing there waiting for mommy or daddy to come home. When Kamala Harris is rounding up truant parents in California as attorney general, you're not seeing videos about the kids who are left at home. Every arrest ends with a parent going to jail if there are kids in the picture. But the media are focusing heavily on this for a specific reason. Here is CNN focusing on kids weeping after the ICE raids. Again, it's terrible that this is happening to the kids. Their parents also violated the law. 2 things can be true at once. Here is CNN reporting on this.
Please, can I just see my mother, please?
And the tyrant is crying children left without parents after immigration raids.
Mom is the only one she has. That's her guardian.
In immigration raids across Mississippi on Wednesday.
I need my dad for me. My dad didn't do nothing. He's not a criminal.
Many children left behind at schools and daycares. One gym in a nearby town offering to house and feed children who were separated from their parents.
I understand the law and how everything works, and everything has a system, but everybody needs to hold the kids first and foremost in their minds.
Okay, well, I agree that the kids ought to be held first and foremost in minds, but is there any question that if Barack Obama had arrested people and then separated them from their children, that the media would have ignored it? That wouldn't have been the top line story? This, of course, is the top line story because Trump is president and because there are a lot of folks in the media and on the left who are trying to promulgate a narrative that the real reason Trump is doing this is out of racial animus. And it's not just members of the media who are subtly pushing this. Some people are just saying it openly. Sheila Jackson Lee, congressperson from Texas, she comes out and she suggests that these ICE raids are like Gestapo.
I am on Homeland Security. I think it's unfortunate when ICE has to be made into this kind of agency and to be an intimidator rather than an agency that has in the past made sure that we are safe in this nation. That is what Americans want, to be safe. But when their neighbors are rounded up in a vile way, when children are left unprotected, I'm disappointed. And the president and Steve Miller need to stop these Gestapo tactics, and we need to work together to pass comprehensive immigration reform.
The Gestapo tactics are a Nazi, and immigration policy is Nazi-esque. Coming up, the New York Times decides to put out into the open what many are saying subtly. They're just going to link conservative policy to the El Paso shooting because, obviously, conservatism is white supremacy, according to the New York Times. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Let's talk about what's killing us. The stuff that's hard to comprehend and getting worse every day. Join me, Stephanie Wittles-Wax, author and co-founder of the Lemonada Podcast Network, for my new podcast, Last Day. We will confront massive epidemics with humanity, wit, and a quest for progress. First up, the opioid crisis. Listen and subscribe to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, a lot of folks this week asking why we can't unify, why we can't all be on the same page. Well, it makes it difficult for me to be on the same page as the New York Times when the New York Times is claiming that every single person in the United States who supports stronger border controls is secretly in league with an El Paso white supremacist terrorist. It was on the front page of their website called, quote, "It had nothing to do with us. Restrictionist groups distanced themselves from accused El Paso shooter who shared similar views on immigrants." So in other words, because the El Paso shooter talked about the dangers of immigration and did so in the most vile, racist possible way, he is basically just an offshoot of general immigration restrictionism. Okay, which is somewhat like saying that because the congressional baseball shooter was angry at Republicans over health care policy, that he is definitely an offshoot of generalized upset over America's lack of proper health care. No, that's not how this works. So the New York Times explicitly trying to link mainstream anti-immigration groups I don't agree with some of their policies, FAIR and some of the other groups that are cited here, Numbers USA. But the notion that those groups are linked to the mass shooting in El Paso, again, this is what the media are trying to do to broaden out the concept, which is that white supremacy really isn't just somebody who declares that white people are superior and that America needs to remain white and then shoots up an El Paso Walmart. White supremacy is really anybody who believes that there ought to be immigration restrictions. Right? So the New York Times has this piece linking these groups who are not linked with the shooter to the shooter. And then the media decide that they're going to cover immigration such that if you are in any way a restrictionist on illegal immigration, then you are inevitably linked to an underlying racial hatred. Okay, this is disgusting stuff. It divides Americans for no reason, because, again, there is a bad guy out there. There are bad people out there. There are actual white supremacists out there. But linking generalized conservative policies on immigration to white supremacism is overtly dishonest. David Nakamura writing this egregious piece. Hours after the mass shooting in El Paso last weekend, Dan Stein, president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, issued a tweet in the organization's name denouncing the tragic carnage and urging Americans to, quote, stand together against senseless rage and destructive impulses. FAIR, a leading proponent of restricting immigration, typically provides its 300,000 followers on Twitter and 2.1 million on Facebook with links to studies, news stories, and podcasts warning of the economic, public safety, and environmental costs of high immigration levels. But Stein made no mention in his tweet of the online document police believe was written by the alleged killer, which cited many of the same arguments against immigration as a rationale and motivation for the attack that killed 22 people in a predominantly Hispanic city near the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, why exactly would the head of FAIR be tweeting out elements of the manifesto? He didn't write the manifesto. He doesn't support the manifesto. There's no evidence that he's a racist. There's no evidence that he's a white supremacist. Nonetheless, the New York Times overtly links what is, by most lights, a mainstream conservative anti-illegal immigration group. FAIR is more anti-immigration than I am because they want to restrict legal immigration too, but they are not a racist group. And there's no evidence provided in the piece that they are. Nonetheless, the New York Times goes out of its way to link the right-wing views of the shooter on immigration to the right-wing views of this group on immigration, and then suggest that the two are equivalent, despite the fact that the shooter's right-wing views were not just right-wing, they were actually white supremacist, right, which is not right-wing. White supremacism is something beyond. The racial solidarity implicit in white supremacism is not just about ensuring that immigrants assimilate to American culture. It says no immigrants at all because they're brown, right? It's a completely different thing. Stein's decision to rapidly issue a statement condemning the El Paso massacre reflects a sense of alarm among FAIR and the small cohort of other restrictionist groups about potential political fallout from the massacres. Well, yeah, I mean, number one, they should condemn the shooting, because we should all condemn the shooting. But second of all, maybe they were worried about disingenuous reporters at the New York Times linking them with the shooter. And so they came out and condemned the shooting because they knew the New York Times would do it. And then the New York Times did it anyway. Long relegated to the fringes of the debate, these organizations have moved center stage under President Trump, helping to provide the intellectual and ideological framework for the administration's hardline immigration agenda, one that immigrant rights advocates have decried as xenophobic and racist. And there you have it, right? In the end, the New York Times is going to use as its shield and as its sword immigration rights groups that basically posit exactly what David Nakamura wants them to posit, which is that immigration policy is racist and xenophobic if it's not open borders. You're a white supremacist if you disagree with the left on immigration. So the left's newfound attempt, and many in the media, their newfound attempt to link basic conservative policy with the El Paso shooting, one of the reasons this is going to have such dire effects for American society is once you've basically suggested that half of Americans, because half of Americans voted for Trump, once you basically suggest that half of Americans are actually Nazis, what do you think the left is going to do? Do you think that they are going to get more reasonable in their conversation or less reasonable in their conversation? Once you overtly link ICE to Gestapo tactics, as Sheila Jackson Lee did, do you think you're raising the temperature or lowering the temperature? Now, I've been sort of positing the linkage. I've been talking for years, actually, about the linkage between rhetoric and violence. And I've said that I think that unless rhetoric explicitly calls for violence, it is not incitement of violence. That is the legal standard in the United States. I will say, however, and I've said this before, that raising the temperature is not good for the country on its own merits. And the left is having an impact on this, too. The entire climate is getting warmer. The political climate is getting warmer. We are experiencing political climate change right now. Coming up, the New York Times getting behind the doxing of Trump donors, going after Trump donors. They will
hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Have you been involved in any type of accident and don't want to go through your insurance company? Well, bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Maaco, 226-0992. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Insurance companies may try to steer you to their recommended shop. This saves the insurance company money, not you. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Pacific Justice Institute has been working with a distraught family and fought to keep baby Israel Stinson on life support. Medical authorities finally turned off his life support against the wishes of his family, ending his life. Well, a federal judge in Sacramento held that a parent has no standing to challenge government policies regarding the life and death of their children. Well, PJI appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, the court has now asked for extensive supplemental briefings on the merits of parental rights. Pray that the court will honor life and parental rights.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
All Trump supporters should be doxxed, even though they fully admit that those Trump supporters are being harassed. Piece number one, okay, from the New York Times. They say Trump's opponents want to name his big donors. His supporters say it's harassment by Katie Rogers and Annie Carney. They start out, for many businesses, a sudden deluge of phone calls might signal an influx of new customers. But most of the 25 calls Justin Harris received before noon on Thursday were from people who wanted to tell him he was a white supremacist for donating money to President Trump. Harris, the owner of Precision Pipe Rentals, an oil and gas services company in San Antonio, said, quote, I've had people say, hey, we were going to use you for business, but we found out you're a racist. We hope you burn in hell, and your business will go with you. The reason for the calls was Harris's inclusion this week on a list of 44 San Antonio area residents who have maxed out their donations to the president's reelection campaign. That list was shared on Twitter by Representative Joaquin Castro, a Texas Democrat who serves as the chairman of the presidential campaign of his twin brother Julian. Republicans have accused the congressman of doxing private citizens and trying to incite harassment of the president's supporters. Now, I find it hilarious that the New York Times, which will simultaneously claim that Trump incited violence, will suggest that Joaquin Castro had no role in inciting harassment of businesses whose names he tweeted out and called them complicit in murder, effectively. So, yeah, I'm not going to stand by your standard of causation, guys. I think that you've got this a little bit mixed up. The New York Times has a similar uproar over Trump donors is playing out in the moneyed enclave of the Hamptons, where real estate developers are hosting two fundraisers for Mr. Trump on Friday. Progressives looking for a way to express their anger at Mr. Trump and the people who support him have threatened to boycott SoulCycle, the popular spin studio chain, and Equinox, a high-end gym, both owned by the billionaire developer Stephen Ross, who's scheduled to host the president. Calling out people who fund campaigns is not a new tactic, but the question of how much should be publicly disclosed about those donors has been an issue that Republicans, led by the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, have repeatedly raised in recent years. In a heated political environment, boycotting businesses of big donors has led to a new round of outrage at either end of the political spectrum. Okay, so the New York Times is openly acknowledging that the people that Joaquin Castro targeted are being harassed. So the New York Times then has an editorial from the editorial board, and it's called May the SoulCycle Boycott Make Democracy Better. And then they try to separate off what Joaquin Castro did from what the people boycotting SoulCycle did, which is impossible because it's the same exact thing. Right? It is targeting donors to political campaigns on the basis of their politics and then suggesting that they are responsible for grave evil and no one should patronize their businesses and they deserve pitchforks and torches outside their house. It is the same exact thing. The New York Times is embarrassed that Joaquin Castro precipitated harassment of specific people, but they kind of like his tactic, and that's what the editorial says. They said stunts like Joaquin Castro's upstage a real concern. Americans should want to know more about who funds political campaigns. We already have transparency laws in place. We already know who funds political campaigns. That's not what's going on here. What is going on here is that when you call Trump a Nazi, and when you call his supporters Nazis, and then you say, here are all the people who donate money to Nazis, you should not be surprised when the political climate change that you are incurring racks up and continues to rack up. And again, I'm focusing in on the left today because the reactionary left is doing this week. Hey, Trump has raised the temperature in the past, and I have ripped him a new one when he has. Yeah, but the raising the political temperature from the left this week has been utterly astonishing in the aftermath of an attack that should at least have brought us together for a moment of mourning when we're all on the same page with regard to white supremacism. So the New York Times editorial board tries to distinguish the same movement to go after Equinox and SoulCycle from what Joaquin Castro did. They said a popular form of protest, boycotts, more often serve to draw public attention to an issue than to affect concrete change. With Mr. Ross, critics may or may not manage to inflict any financial pain. They nonetheless are publicly demanding that he answer for and perhaps ultimately rethink his political giving. In the process, they're sending a signal to other major contributors to carefully consider their choices, lest they face a similar accounting. Public shaming seemed to be at the core of Mr. Castro's treat it well, though the outcry from Republican officials was much louder. The Texas congressman was accused of inviting harassment and encouraging violence against his own constituents. There's rich irony about the Republican self-righteousness, blah, 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 blah. Then they say, well, it's kind of embarrassing that Mr. Castro did this, right? They say that He unlinked disclosure from policy, and that is a bad thing. But then they conclude by basically saying that we should increase the amount of coverage of this sort of stuff. They say, for now, one basic step may be for media outlets and other advocates for transparency to keep working to ease access to and promote interest in donor data more broadly. So in other words, we're embarrassed that people harassed the people that were targeted by Joaquin Castro, but let's do more of that. More of that would be good. The only problem is that Castro said the quiet part out loud, and that the people he targeted were the little people. But if they'd been the big people, it would have been fine. Now, listen, I think it is perfectly appropriate to call out major donors for whom they donate to. I do not think it is appropriate to boycott businesses in which they invest, specifically because they happen to be investors in that business, especially if the, particularly and only if the business does not reflect the policy preferences of the person at the top. So I don't know which businesses George Soros is invested in. I don't. And frankly, I don't really care, because as long as those businesses are not reflecting his political preferences, I will shop there. I think George Soros donates a lot of people to people I really dislike. I think that his politics are egregiously bad in many, many ways, really terrible in many ways. I think he funds a lot of groups that I really can't stand. But I'm not going to stop shopping. I'm not going to become part of a country where everybody is expected and must, in fact, go through the corporate boards of every major corporation that produces a product that we eat, wear, or entertain by, and then decide whether those people reflect our politics. By the way, important to note, one of the major funders of Marvel Entertainment is a Trump donor. So guys, start burning your Avengers Endgame DVDs. Well, this is all making the country so much stronger and so much better. In the aftermath of something as terrible as what just happened, the fact that we can't get together on anything is really indicative of a serious problem in the country. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to Democratic gun control proposals and Joe Biden making a big boo-boo on the campaign trail. We're also going to get to something that Joe Biden is doing right that the other Democrats are not doing right. But first, I'm constantly concerned about cybersecurity. I know that big tech is looking for my data, and I also know that when I travel abroad, a lot of foreign governments are too, and they prevent me from accessing some of the websites I need, news websites, for example. There is one app that keeps you safe and secure online while you're away. That's ExpressVPN. They encrypt your data while you surf the internet on public airport and hotel Wi-Fi. With ExpressVPN, you can unblock all your favorite websites and have access to the internet just like you would if you were home. ExpressVPN runs in the background of your computer or phone, and then you use the internet just like you normally would. You download the app, you click to connect, voila, you are now protected. I won't go online while traveling without ExpressVPN. You should not either. I mean, there are just too many people looking for your data. It's a cheap, easy way for hackers to make a lot of money off of you. It costs less than $7 per month to get ExpressVPN. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months for free at expressvpn.com/ben. That's expressvpn.com/ben for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. That's expressvpn.com/ben, expressvpn.com/ben. Again, the left has to make a decision. When we get to the broadening out of the white supremacist label, the labeling of everybody on the right Nazis and complicit in Nazism, the left has to make a decision. And it's a political decision as well as a moral one. The moral one is, do you really believe that your fellow countrymen are insidious racist Nazis? Is that really what you believe? Do you really believe that this is 1859 or even 1960? Is that what you really believe? When you look at your neighbors, is that what you see? When you look at a state that you don't live in, do you see either godless leftists who hate America on the one hand, or do you see a bunch of rube rednecks who hate black people and gays on the other? Because if that's what you believe, you're doing it wrong. You really are doing it wrong. There are serious differences in values in the United States, but if the way we do politics is now to label our opponents as either incipient tyrants who are going to inevitably destroy the Republic and all of our rights, or as people who are deliberately attempting to harm black people and brown people, and you lump in general policy with that without any sort of logical linkage, you're doing it wrong. Unfortunately, the left is doing this more and more. Now, Joe Biden actually is doing something somewhat smart about this. So Joe Biden was asked yesterday. Joe Biden is taking a clever tack politically. So he says that Trump forwards white supremacy. Okay, that is at least an arguable proposition on a logical point of view, because in 2015, 2016, Trump did wink and nod at the alt-right. So that's at least an arguable proposition. But Joe Biden is not willing to call Trump a white supremacist. Why? Because he understands that's number one, not true. And number two, that by suggesting Trump is a white supremacist, he is suggesting that all of Trump's supporters back a white supremacist. So Biden, quite correctly, is reluctant to go all the way. As we'll see, his Democratic opponents are not.
I believe everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists. And I'm not sure there's much of a distinction. As a matter of fact, it may be even worse. In fact, if you're out there trying to, in fact, curry the favor of white supremacists or any group that, in fact, is anathema to everything we believe. So whether he is or is not a white supremacist, he encourages them. Everything he does, he speaks to them. He's afraid to take them on. And if you notice, the one time he used the word white supremacy, he was, talked about sleepy. He was awful sleepy in the way in which he talked about.
Okay, so he's making the distinction. Now, he should be making the distinction more strongly, and obviously he's exaggerating the president's record on white supremacy by a long shot. I mean, again, the president has condemned, Trump has condemned white supremacy about 1,000 times since 2017. With that said, he's doing something other Democrats are not doing, right? Elizabeth Warren just came straight out and she tweeted out that the president is a white supremacist. Right? She actually tweeted out, today I was asked whether the president is a white supremacist. I said yes. Okay, good luck with that pitch. Good luck with the pitch that Trump is a white supremacist. First of all, it's obvious BS. Everyone knows it. Second of all, you're labeling everyone who supports him a supporter of white supremacism. And what this is leading the radical left to do is to polarize the debate in a wild and crazy way. So I want to give you an example of how terrible the media are in covering this sort of polarization. So Tommy Lee, who's the founding member of Motley Crue, long time drummer and, of course, star of a sex tape with Pamela Anderson, most famously. Tommy Lee put out a statement on Twitter that he cribbed from somebody else on Reddit. Here is the statement that he put out on Twitter. Quote, "You Trumpsters better pray that liberals never gain control of the White House again, because we are going to pay you back so effing hard for all of this S-word. Planned Parenthood's on every damn corner. We're going to repaint Air Force One pussy hat pink and fly it over your beloved Bible Belt 6 days a week, tossing birth control pills, condoms, and atheist literature from the cockpit. We're going to tax your mega churches so bad Joel Osteen will need to get a job at Chick-fil-A to pay his light bill. Speaking of Chick-fil-A, we're buying all those and giving them to any LGBTQ person your sick cult leaders tortured with conversion therapy. Have fun with the new menu, you bigoted F-words. Try the McPence. It's a boiled, unseasoned chicken breast that you have to eat in the closet with your mother. We're going to gather up all your guns, melt them down, and turn them into a gargantuan metal mountain emblazoned with the face of Hillary Clinton. All parks will be renamed Rosa Parks ASAP. We're replacing Confederate statues with BLM leaders and Mexican immigrants. Every single public school will be renamed after a child that was kidnapped by this regime. And after we fumigate the White House, we're repainting the whole thing rainbow. Fox News will be taken over and turned into a family refugee shelter. We're turning Hannity's office into a giant unisex bathroom with changing tables and free tampons. And every single time a Trumpster complains about any of the changes, we're adding an openly gay character to a Disney movie." Okay, so it's obviously an insane, ridiculous post that is specifically designed to tick off the right. Obviously, it's trollery. It's trollery. Let me read you the headlines and how this is covered. Now, imagine, first of all, that this had been somebody, a Trumpster, posting this from the right. We are going to seize your birth control. We are going to turn this into the Handmaid's Tale. Every time you complain about it, we are going to force you to bear a child. Right? Imagine the right-wing reversal of this, like a right-wing fascist reversal of what Tommy Lee is doing here. Imagine the headlines from a prominent person. Career over, right? Career done, obviously. Here are the headlines. Here are the headlines from the various newspapers. People Magazine. Tommy Lee reshares explosive rant that lays into Donald Trump. Wow, what a hero. What a hero. USA Today, an unapologetic Tommy Lee lays aim at the Trumpsters. The Daily Beast. No, Tommy Lee is not a fan of President Trump. Complex. Tommy Lee strikes a nerve by sharing quote that envisions a post-Trump America. New York Daily News. Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee takes aim at Trump supporters. Okay, I mean, this is AOL.com. Tommy Lee riles up Trumpsters with lengthy political message on social media. Variety. Tommy Lee slams Trump in Twitter rant. And then you wonder why people in conservative America are getting a little frustrated. Let's see. You're calling us all Nazis and white supremacists. And meanwhile, you are treating with kid gloves a rant in which a person threatens to establish abortion clinics on every corner, the takeover of all right-wing businesses, right-wing-owned businesses, conservative-owned businesses, the destruction of our culture wholesale, and that's celebrated by the media. Well done on ramping down the polarization here, guys. You're doing a fantastic, fantastic job. Seth Bullock, the governor of Montana, at least he seems to understand that this is a real problem, that the Democratic Party, that the media, that the left are out of control. He says, listen, we're going to lose this election if we keep going this way.
Please permit me to take everyone out of the Twitterverse for at least a minute and bring us back to Earth. Let me put it plainly. We cannot defeat Donald Trump's politics of personal destruction if we practice the politics of self-destruction. The fact is, we are well on our way to losing this election long before it ever really even has started.
Okay, well, you know, they're not going to take us. They're not going to take him seriously. They're not taking anybody seriously on the left. Like they are ignoring every good piece of advice they have ever received. Coming up, the Democrats incredibly radical on policy that does not leave out Joe Biden. Joe Biden, wait until you hear his newest policy pitch. And dude stumbles on race. He's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Let's talk about what's killing us, the stuff that's hard to comprehend and getting worse every day. Join me, Stephanie Wittles-Wax, author and co-founder of the Lemonada Podcast Network, for my new podcast, Last Day. We will confront massive epidemics with humanity, wit, and a quest for progress. First up, the opioid crisis. Listen and subscribe to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, old Joe, not exactly known for saying the smartest things on the campaign trail. He kept that up yesterday in Iowa. He says his first move as president of the United States would be to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which, by the way, is a completely effect-free climate accord. It doesn't actually create obligations on any of the countries. The number one reduction in climate emissions happened in the United States after we pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. So it has nothing to do with anything real. But according to Joe Biden, it's first priority.
You know, I love the fact that there is no global warming. You all know that out here in Iowa. You know it doesn't exist. I heard a farmer today on the TV who's a Republican say, well, I don't think it's caused by humans, but I have a problem. I have a problem. Well, there's a big problem. This is the existential threat to the United States, to the world, and it's real, and it's not just 11 years. We got about 10 years before we lose the opportunity to stop the erosion that's occurring now. It's real. First thing I would do as President of the United States, I'd rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which I helped put together.
Stumbling and bumbling and bumbling and stumbling his way around the campaign trail. Speaking of which, Joe Biden had a major stumble yesterday on the campaign trail, and it's fun to watch the left simultaneously, depending on whether they like Biden or not, ignore it or make a big deal out of it. In reality, it's just Trump, it's just Biden stumbling over his words like he regularly does. But listen to Biden. He's talking about education. And in this clip, you're going to hear him equate poor people with black people and smart people and smart and rich people with white people. It's pretty wild.
We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids.
And then I like how he tries to walk it back as he realizes what he said in real time. Now, let's put it this way. If Donald Trump had ever said anything like that, that leads the news for a week, right? Because the media have a narrative. And the narrative is that if Trump makes a gaffe, it is in line with his underlying racism and racial animus. If Joe Biden, who once declared that every 7-Eleven has an Indian person behind the counter, apparently he got that from watching The Simpsons or something. It's ridiculous. That same Joe Biden, if he says that poor kids are basically black and white kids are rich, then that's totally fine. Most members of the media have been trying to walk this off. Now, in fairness, do I think that Joe Biden actually believes that all poor kids in the United States are black? No, I don't. I think this is Joe Biden messing all over himself because he does that on a regular basis, and that's why he has to wear political depends. The political depends are the members of the media. But that's not going to stop members of his own party from going after him, the woke brigade. So Bill de Blasio, who is insufferable on the highest level, he tweeted out about Joe Biden, and this is a let them fight from Godzilla moment. Right? Bill de Blasio tweets out, poor kids are just as bright and talented as white kids. To merely dismiss Joe Biden's words as a mere slip of the tongue is as concerning as what he said. We need to have a real conversation about the racism and sexism behind electability. So now, Bill de Blasio is making the case that if you talk about electability, you're racist. And if you're a Democrat who thinks Joe Biden is more electable, it's because you think Joe Biden is more racially friendly to the vast bevy of racist white folks across America. So electability is code for you're racist. I mean, if this doesn't give the lie to what the left and the Democrats on the radical left are doing, I don't know what does. It's just a matter of degree. The mainstream media are trying to declare that if you are strong on immigration policy, you're a racist. The most woke Democrats, like galaxy brain, the most galaxy brain Democrats, like Bill de Blasio, are claiming that Joe Biden is a racist. And then you wonder why people don't take your adjudications of racism seriously, guys. Maybe it's because it's only a matter of degree and how you're going to misuse the label, because you never actually define the label. It's really a bad move by Democrats politically, and it's really, really bad for the country. Overriding reality in order to pursue a narrative is dangerous, dangerous stuff. And meanwhile, a piece of news that the media will largely ignore, a good guy with a gun stopped a bad guy with a gun over in Kentucky, or rather in Springfield, Missouri. According to Kentucky 3, the Springfield Police Department says it responded to a call of an active shooter at the Walmart neighborhood market at Republic Road near Golden Avenue on Thursday evening. The Springfield Police Department arrived on scene within 3 minutes of the call. Police stated that a young white male, appearing to be in his 20s, pulled up to the Walmart where he donned body armor and military fatigues. Police say that the man had tactical weapons. He walked into the Walmart.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump is arguing in favor of background checks for gun purchases, this after the recent mass shootings in Texas and in Ohio.
The president's been talking with congressional leaders from both political parties and says there's a better feeling right now toward getting something meaningful done.
We need intelligent background checks, okay? This isn't a question of NRA, Republican, or Democrat.
In comments before leaving for vacation, the president said his supporters back the Second Amendment, but also rely on common sense. As for background checks, he said he wants to see it happen. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Demonstrations in Hong Kong are not abating, and more are planned for this weekend, including at the airport. BBC correspondent Martin Yip reports that protesters holding signs staged a sit-in at the arrival and departure halls Friday.
These protesters in their thousands have been to the airport and gathered mainly at the arrival hall since this morning. They've been chanting slogans, they've been giving out leaflets in Korean and other languages so that people who arrived at this Hong Kong airport from around the world can try to get a sense of what is happening. Of course, it's their side of the story. So far, it's been a peaceful one, and as of now, my best understanding is they're still gathering there, and they do have a plan to stay there all the way until Sunday.
North Korea has reportedly fired more projectiles into the sea. It's likely another protest at the United States and South Korea, continuing joint military exercises that the North says are aimed at a northward invasion. South Korea's military says that projectiles were launched twice from an area near the North's east coast. It did not immediately identify the projectiles or how far they flew. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
5 days after the mass shooting at an El Paso, Texas Walmart store, Springfield, Missouri police arrest an armed man who they say showed up at a Walmart store wearing body armor.
Springfield police say on Facebook that an armed individual was arrested. No shots were fired, but the man's presence sent panicked shoppers fleeing the store. The Springfield News Leader quotes Lieutenant Mike Lucas as saying the 20-year-old man was wearing body armor and military-style clothing and was carrying a tactical rifle and another gun. Lucas says the man had more than 100 rounds of ammunition. According to Lucas, an off-duty firefighter held the suspect at gunpoint until police arrived. I'm Mike Hempen.
The International Monetary Fund sees little evidence that China's central bank deliberately reduced the value of the nation's currency. News and analysis at townhall.com. Fifty-two years after his plane was shot down in Vietnam, the remains of 36-year-old Colonel Roy Knight Jr. are back in Texas.
Activities at Dallas's Love Field coming to a complete stop this week as the Southwest Airlines commercial airliner bearing his flag-draped casket taxied to a stop.
Southwest 1220, we got a message for you.
Audio courtesy of Southwest Airlines.
On behalf of Regional Approach, we welcome your father, Colonel Knight, home. Boy, he's gone. He will never be forgotten.
The jet bringing Colonel Knight home, piloted by his son Brian, who was only 5 years old when he last saw his father at the very same airport. Colonel Knight will be buried with full military honors this weekend in Texas.
That is correspondent Wally Hines reporting. A small group of medical colleges across the United States is aiming to boost the number of doctors in rural communities by trying to sell medical students on rural life. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
You've heard, don't call the 800 number. Instead, call your Dish Premier local retailer at 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Here's another reason why.
Jack M. with Five Stars writes, I have had Dish Network off and on over the years. I've dealt with the Dish Corporation and have not had any satisfaction with their service. But the local guys are the way to go when you need great service. We chose B&T Satellite as our Dish cable carrier. First, I was amazed that Doug, the owner, would come to our home late Friday afternoon to work. Doug was a delight to work with. Thanks so much, Doug. Truly, if you want the best service, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. Doug Tooley at B&T Satellite.
B&T Satellite will take the time to listen to your needs and work with you to give you the best TV experience. Your local premier Dish retailer. You owe it to yourself to not call the 800 number. Call 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll get to the mailbag, answer some of your questions. But we begin this hour with a brief observation. Okay, the media right now are trying to suggest that if you're tough on border, then this means that you're white supremacist. And to prove their case, they're out there mourning today a mass immigration raid that took place in Mississippi over at a chicken factory. About 680 people arrested. Apparently 300 were released. Another 380 will probably be deported. And the media focused in incessantly on the suffering of the kids who were left behind, which, again, it's newsworthy only in the sense that it happened, but in the sense that it really adds something that we didn't know to the story, the answer is really not, because every time somebody is arrested, there is somebody who is left behind who obviously is devastated. And that's terrible, right? I mean, but certain things are unavoidable when you're arresting people for committing acts of criminality. So the media are covering that up the wazoo. I mean, like, door to door. And the reason they are covering it this way is because they're trying to link it to a generalized sense that President Trump's harshness on immigration is, in fact, driven by racial animus and cruelty, and pictures of young Hispanic children crying on the news linked to President Trump drives that narrative. It's why CNN is featuring this video incessantly of a young girl who is crying over her father being removed, being arrested. And obviously, you got to—I mean, there's no way not to feel for this girl. Right? I have a daughter. Obviously, I have parents. I mean, it's terrible, terrible stuff. So we have this clip from CNN of this girl crying and talking about how her dad has basically been dragged away in handcuffs.
I can do nothing but please open the door for the parents. I'm stuck over there in jail. I'm not going to have nothing. It's the first day of school for me. My dad bought my everything for me to live over here. The rent, and I don't know what I'm going to eat. And I'm so lonely right now. I need my dad for me. My dad didn't do nothing. He's not a criminal or something. That's what the immigrants took them. Please set him free.
Okay, I mean, obviously, how do you not feel for this kid? Right? Obviously, you feel for this kid. But every time somebody is arrested, there is a kid that gets left behind if the parent happens to be a parent. Now, maybe the solution is that when a mass arrest like this takes place, that I assume there are some government officials there who are helping to handle the kids, or that they're family members who they are working with, but there's always unintended fallout from arresting people. The media will cover this. This will be the story all weekend. It will be asked about on all the Sunday news show. Now I'm going to tell you a story that's not going to be asked about on the Sunday news show. Colorado Springs, Colorado, the Denver Channel reporting. 8 months after he sought sanctuary from a Colorado Springs church to avoid deportation, Miguel Ramirez Valiente stands accused of careless driving with a revoked license in a crash that claimed the life of a father of five. Now, those who know Ramirez Valiente say he never should have been driving. It took people saying, you need to say something about this to get that family help and justice. And that's when we made the call, said a close acquaintance of Ramirez Valiente, who asked to have her identity protected for her safety. My heart broke for this family because this could be prevented. Last Friday, Sean Buchanan, a father of five, was riding his motorcycle on Highway 83 when Colorado State Patrol troopers said another driver swerved into his lane and killed him. He was amazing, said his grieving wife, Kathy, struggling to cope with an unimaginable loss. It's trying to figure out what the new normal looks like when the old normal was so good. The other driver, Miguel Ramirez Valiente, received national attention in January while seeking sanctuary at a Colorado Springs church. Now, notice that. He got national attention in January because he went to a Colorado Springs church to seek sanctuary from ICE. That's national attention worthy when somebody seeks sanctuary at a church. Not national attention worthy when that same person kills somebody in a reckless driving incident and that person happens to be a father of five. So let me ask a basic question. Which is more newsworthy? Illegal immigrant who should have been deported kills father of five, or illegal immigrant takes sanctuary in a church as ICE tries to capture him? And if one is newsworthy, why is the other one not? I mean, isn't that an inevitable byproduct of keeping people in the country who you haven't vetted and can't control and don't feel themselves subject to American law? Valiente was pleading to avoid deportation to El Salvador to stay with his family. He said, I can't be separated from them. I've always worked hard to support my family. They depend on me. So again, he was using the same sort of media-driven narrative that we are seeing today with regard to this chicken factory in Mississippi, right? I'm here with my family. I'm sure that's true. But this is also why we enforce our laws, because they're byproducts of not enforcing our laws. Now, that's not to say that everybody at the chicken factory is a reckless driver who's going to kill somebody, obviously. It is to say that there will be some people who, if you don't know who they are or why they're here or what they are doing here, are going to commit crimes. And so the question becomes, how many American citizens are going to suffer because we won't vet the people coming in? I'm not saying we should shut down immigration. We shouldn't. There should be lots of legal immigration. I'm not saying we should even deport everybody. We should vet all those people. And then we should deport the people we think shouldn't be here. What I am saying is that the open borders contingent or the attempt to make an emotional appeal based on they have family members here is not enough to justify actual policy. Those who know Ramirez say his arrest history tells a different story than the one that he was telling to the media. A close acquaintance of Ramirez Valiente said, quote, this family deserves to know who they're dealing with. He's an alcoholic and an abuser. Was any of that covered at the time when he was taking refuge in the church? That this guy was allegedly an alcoholic and abuser? Or did all we get was, he's a good family man taking refuge in a church? His arrest record shows charges for reckless endangerment in 2011 in Douglas County and domestic violence in 2016 in El Paso County. But CBI records show both cases were dismissed by the district attorney office. In 2018, he pled guilty to a 2017 charge of driving under the influence. His license was revoked. So that's three arrests in 6 years. And the media covered him taking sanctuary in a church. That was the big story. On August 1st, one day before the deadly crash, his probation for that DUI was extended because he had not completed alcohol therapy and community service. He was driving without a license when troopers said he overcorrected and swerved into Buchanan's Lane on August 2nd. While some are questioning why Ramirez Valiente was not arrested on scene, Colorado State Patrol said he was taken to a hospital. The master trooper Gary Cutler said, quote, most of the time we do not arrest on a fatality accident unless there is a high risk of intoxication, because at that moment we're not sure of the charge. We continue the investigation, then we submit the investigation to the DA. But those who know Ramirez Valiente question whether he should have been arrested or deported long ago. Oh, really? Oh, really? What a shock. The woman who knows him says he should have been arrested after the crash. He just had a DUI. He's driving with no license. He killed somebody. He shouldn't be able to walk away from that. Now she's worried he'll flee before he's brought to justice. Maybe he'll run to a church again, and then we'll get coverage about how he's taken sanctuary again. No coverage of the killing. Definitely coverage of the church. She said, my personal opinion is we don't do enough to stop this kind of thing because it could have been stopped. You're here, and you're a hard worker. You're not causing trouble and doing bad things. That's fine. But he'd already been in trouble several times. Now we have a death because of it. Is that going to receive national attention? I have my doubts. I have serious, serious doubts. Now, obviously, this is an area where President Trump should be campaigning. He should be pointing this out. The media should be covering this story. They probably will not. And meanwhile, the media continue to push the narrative of gun control. So just to get this straight, we can't control illegal immigration in the country because that's racist. We can push to confiscate weaponry from 150 million Americans, 200 million Americans. We can push to do that on the basis of a person who's a terrorist shooting up a Walmart. So an outlier commits a crime. This should be the basis for the full-scale destruction of American rights, according to many on the left. An illegal immigrant commits a crime. We should never, ever, ever have any arrests at facilities that separate parents from children, ever. Weird how these two things seem to be distinguished from one another. One of the dumber pieces today in the media, this comes from the Washington Post, talks about the National Firearms Act of 1934, which bans submachine guns in the United States, the sale of submachine guns in the United States, and, of course, botches the story. Now, I don't oppose the submachine gun ban in the United States. Not even the NRA opposes the ban on submachine gun sale and distribution in the United States. I think everyone basically agrees that there are certain weapons that should not be publicly available for sale because the inherent danger of those weapons outweighs the legal uses of those weapons. This does not hold true, by the way, for semi-automatic rifles. And semi-automatic rifles are a basic type of rifle. They've been around for at least 100 years at this point, more than 100 years. And outlawing all of those rifles is not actually going to accomplish what you seek to accomplish. But the Washington Post even gets the National Firearms Act wrong. I mean, it's pretty impressive. We'll get to that in just one second. First, there's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for somebody else? Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more compromising on an average mattress. Head on over to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a mattress that gives you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try your mattress out for 100 nights risk-free. Shipping is completely free. They even pick it up for you if you don't love it. You will. I know because I have a Helix Sleep mattress. It is fantastic. It is tailor-made for me. I like my mattress firm, and I like it cool. If Helix Sleep made it for me, it's great. Been sleeping on it ever since. So good. I got one for my sister for her wedding. It's really simple. You just do that 2-minute sleep quiz, and then the mattress arrives in the mail. You open the box. You pop open the plastic, and the thing inflates right in front of you. You toss it on the bed. You're good to go. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Again, up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Okay, so listen to how the Washington Post just botches this story. It's amazing. So the piece is by Ronald Schaefer. It says, they were killers with submachine guns. Then the president went after their weapons. Okay, so who are we talking about here? Just wait. They were the mass shooters of their day, and all of America knew their names. John the Killer Dillinger, Arthur Pretty Boy Floyd, Bonnie and Clyde, George Machine Gun Kelly. In the 1930s, the violence by the notorious gangsters was fueled by Thompson's submachine guns, or Tommy guns, that fired up to 600 rounds of bullets in a minute. In response, President Franklin Roosevelt was pressing Congress to act on his New Deal for crime, specifically a bill officially called the National Firearms Act of 1934. Informally, it was known as the Anti-Machine Gun Bill. At the time, Pretty Boy Floyd was on a killing spree. Clyde Barrow and his girlfriend Bonnie Parker were blazing a bloody path through Oklahoma with submachine guns and sawed-off shotguns. Machine Gun Kelly had recently been captured and sent to Leavenworth Prison. Dillinger, with a submachine gun in his hands and a big green sedan awaiting him, shot his way out of a police trap today and once more foiled the law, the AP reported, from St. Paul, Minnesota in the spring of 1934. The next week in Wisconsin, Dillinger killed a federal law enforcement officer in a hail of submachine gun bullets. Roosevelt's firearms bill also proposed requiring newly purchased pistols and revolvers to be registered and owners to be fingerprinted, etc. And then it talks about the development of the National Firearms Act. But the conclusion of this is really the best part. So the conclusion of the piece goes like this. Hundreds of illegal machine guns were still around, but a crackdown by law enforcement basically ended the run of gangster gun violence. In May 1934 in Louisiana, a posse led by a former Texas Ranger ambushed and killed Bonnie and Clyde in a blaze of submachine gun fire. Later that year, federal agents killed Pretty Boy Floyd in a gun battle in an Ohio cornfield. In June, the feds tracked down Dillinger at the Biograph Theater in Chicago, where he watched the movie Manhattan Melodrama starring Clark Gable. Agents chased Dillinger into an alley. When he reached for his gun, he was shot dead. Okay, so in other words, it wasn't the National Firearms Act that actually stopped any of these criminals. It was the police shooting them, which is always the case. Okay, when there's a criminal with a gun, it turns out that retroactive bans don't actually stop the criminal from having the gun. It is people shooting the criminal with the gun that stops the shooter. That headline is so ridiculous. So the headline, remember, on this piece was, they were killers with submachine guns. Then the president went after their weapons. That's not what happened. They didn't stop being killers with submachine guns when the National Firearms Act was passed. They stopped being killers with submachine guns when they got shot in the face. That would be the thing that stopped these folks. It's just, okay, sure. But I guess it was magically the bill. It was magically the bill that did that. Strong stuff there from the Washington Post. Alrighty, coming up, Twitter is cracking down in the most bizarre way on Mitch McConnell's campaign. If you're not afraid of the sort of censorship that happens at Twitter, Twitter is worse than all the rest of these tech companies. Twitter is just awful. If you're not afraid of what they are doing in terms of censoring conservatives, you should be. I'll tell you the story of what Twitter just did to Mitch McConnell's campaign. Plus, A lot of people are hot and bothered over this new movie that's coming out about apparently liberals hunting conservatives. I want to say I think this is overblown. I'll explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Let's talk about what's killing us. The stuff that's hard to comprehend and getting worse every day. Join me, Stephanie Wittles-Wax, author and co-founder of the Lemonada Podcast Network, for my new podcast, Last Day. We will confront massive epidemics with humanity, wit, and a quest for progress. First up, the opioid crisis. Listen and subscribe to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So one of the writers for my website, Daily Wire, he had his account suspended by Twitter the other day. What was his great crime? His great crime is that he posted a video. The video was taken outside Mitch McConnell's house. Now, my writer didn't create the video. He didn't cut the video. He was reposting the video from another account. The video showed protesters outside Mitch McConnell's house talking about why Mitch McConnell ought to die, shouting violent slogans at him, suggesting that he was massacre Mitch McConnell, and all the rest. And my writer was informed by Twitter that this video had to be taken down. The tweet had to be deleted or his account would be suspended. The same thing then happened to Team Mitch, which is Mitch McConnell's campaign account. According to Politico, the Trump campaign and GOP committees have now halted their spending on Twitter after McConnell's account was locked. James Arkin reports, President Donald Trump's campaign and the major national Republican campaign committees announced on Thursday they will stop spending money to advertise on Twitter after the social media platform locked Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's account for posting a video of violent threats against him. Jesse Hunt, spokesperson for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, said, quote, Twitter's hostile actions toward Leader McConnell's campaign are outrageous and we will not tolerate it. The NRSC will suspend all spending with Twitter until further notice. We will not spend our resources on a platform that silences conservatives. Richard Walters, chief of staff of the Republican National Committee, said in a tweet that the RNC and Trump campaign will also not advertise on Twitter until they address this disgusting bias. Meanwhile, the Senate Leadership Fund president and CEO Stephen Law told Politico, the top pro-GOP super PAC four Senate races would pull its spending on Twitter due to the company's unfair treatment of McConnell. The moves came after McConnell's campaign account was locked on Wednesday for posting a video of protesters outside his home that included violent threats against the Kentucky Republican. A Twitter spokesman confirmed the account was temporarily locked for violating the company's violent threats policy. The McConnell campaign said that the campaign unsuccessfully appealed the decision and accused Twitter of hypocrisy. Well, it is absolutely absurd. I mean, absolutely 100% absurd. So in other words, somebody threatens McConnell outside his house. McConnell's team posts that. And Twitter punishes McConnell's team for posting the threat against McConnell. I mean, this is insane. I know this is insane because just a couple of days ago, I did the same thing with an Antifa threat. There's some guy from Antifa in New York, and he was posted, purportedly in New York, and he was posting threats against me and my family and calling on people in Antifa in Los Angeles to target my home. I tweeted this out. Should my account be suspended because I exposed to public ridicule and disdain a person who is threatening physical violence against my wife, my children, and me? Is that how this works, Twitter? Sarah Silverman, the not very good comedian, posted a video the other day of a nutty pastor suggesting that she was the Antichrist and that God would punish her and all of this kind of stuff. And it's really a gross video. And nobody should be targeted that way, including Sarah Silverman, obviously. Her account was not suspended, nor should it be. Because that's kind of newsworthy. And she's not threatening anyone else. Like, how is it that Twitter is now drawing no moral distinction between me threatening someone and me exposing someone threatening me? How? How is that even possible? It's insane. The new halt in spending on Twitter is an escalation from Republicans who have long complained the social media company harbors a bias against conservatives. That's because it's pretty obvious that they do. So, once again, our social media companies doing themselves proud. Amazing, amazing stuff. Meanwhile, in terms of overreaction from the other side, there are a lot of folks who are very upset about this new movie from Blumhouse, the horror producers, that's supposed to come out. It's called The Hunt. And The Hunt is about supposedly elites stalking deplorables. The movie itself is basically a bunch of Trump haters who are on a ranch somewhere and they import deplorables for them to shoot. And so it's basically just a variation on the famous short story, probably one of the great action short stories ever written, The Most Dangerous Game. That's all this movie is. They just added sort of a political superimposition on top. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the trailer has now been pulled and the studio is evaluating its strategy for release. This is dumb. It's dumb for a couple of reasons. One, movies can say what they want. We shouldn't be pulling movies just because some people find them offensive. As a general rule, I find this silly. I find it silly from right. I find it silly from left. If you're offended, don't go see the movie. Very easy solution. Number two, if you watch the trailer, it is extraordinarily obvious that the villains in this movie are the elites. If you watch the actual trailer for the film, it is obvious that the bad guys would be the blue private jet flying Silicon Valley employees who are out there hunting the good, honest people from the Midwest, right? I mean, that and the South. That's what the movie looks like from the trailer. The Hollywood Reporter says, did anyone just see what our rat effer in chief just did? One character asks early in the screenplay for The Hunt, a Universal Pictures thriller set to open September 27th. Another responds, at least The Hunt's coming up. Nothing better than going out to the manor and slaughtering a dozen deplorables. In the aftermath of mass shootings within days of one another that shocked and traumatized the nation, Universal is reevaluating its strategy for the certain-to-be-controversial satire. The violent R-rated film from producer Jason Blum's Blumhouse follows a dozen MAGA types who wake up in a clearing and realize they are being stalked for sport by elite liberals. Over the August 3rd weekend, ESPN pulled an ad for the film that it had previously cleared. AMC ran the spot during the season premiere of its drama Preacher. It's unclear whether the ads were identical, but the one yanked by ESPN opened with a sound resembling an emergency broadcast signal. The Hunt stars Betty Gilpin from GLOW and Hilary Swank, representing opposite sides of the political divide. It features guns blazing along with other ultra-violent killings as elites pick off their prey. The script from Damon Lindelof and Nick Cuse, I assume some relation to Carlton Cuse, and Lindelof and Cuse were the guys behind Lost, reviewed by The Hollywood Reporter, revolves around third-rail political themes. The original title of the movie was Red State versus Blue State. But from the trailer, it is pretty obvious that the elites are at very least some of the bad guys, right? I mean, it's the elites who are actually targeting innocent people to kill them, whereas the deplorables are being shipped in to be.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received the call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's a Friday. That means it's time for the mailbag, so this is why you should subscribe over at Daily Wire, so you can get your questions answered. Let's jump right in. Let's see. Abraham says, a few weeks ago, you tried to answer my question about the long-term sustainability of trade deficits. The thing is, I've often heard your grocery store analogy, but I see a flaw. Suppose the sum total of all your outside shopping exceeded all of your outside income. Wouldn't you go broke eventually? Your answer, that China invests in U.S. bonds or U.S. companies, means that you agree that in the end it winds up as U.S. debt or foreign ownership of our assets. How is that sustainable over time? Well, it is sustainable over time, given that they are going to have to buy from you. So that actually, you answered your own question. To go back to the grocery store analogy, let's say you spend all of your money at the grocery store, and the grocery store only spends some of its money with you. But then the grocery store can only spend you currency, right? You have your own currency. So the grocery store can only spend the you bucks with you. So the grocery store goes in and they buy some of your assets, or they buy something that you want. One of two things is eventually going to happen, right? Eventually, what you're going to end up with is the grocery store will no longer be able to buy your assets because you won't have any more assets. And thus, you will be forced not to spend in those countries, presumably at the grocery store. Or, alternatively, the grocery store will keep taking your money and keep buying stuff from you. Right? That the long-term ownership of U.S. assets, there's a lot of worry about this with Japan in the 1980s. It turns out that trade deficits usually are not sustained on a year-to-year basis. They fluctuate. So sometimes there's a trade deficit, sometimes there is not a trade deficit. If you ran a trade deficit forever, eventually, countries might stop investing in you if they found nothing worth investing in, but there are really not cases that I can think of offhand where this has been the case, where there's been a continued forever trade deficit and people stop investing with you because they just won't take your money anymore. Ariel says, hey, Ben, love your show. I'm a new mother to a soon-to-be one-year-old. You often talk about the importance of raising kids with healthy boundaries and rules. I was curious about what you think are some imperative rules and boundaries to have in the home to raise healthy children. Thanks for all your hard work. Well, you know, I'm working on this the same as you are. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And the imperative rules and boundaries, well, number one, no hitting. Right? If you have more than one, no hitting, express yourself. Whining doesn't get you anything. In fact, whining gets things taken away from you. You have to wait, right? Patience would be a big one. Fighting frustration in kids is very difficult because they can't really express themselves a lot of the time. So you have to be patient with them, but bad behavior does not earn extra attention. This is the easiest mistake to make. I've made it before, obviously, most parents have. That is, your kid is whining, your kid is bothering you. It's easier just to give them the cookie than to fight the whining. My problem is you've now trained your kid to whine to get cookies. So you really do have to fight that instinct in yourself to just say, God, this is such a pain in the ass. Here's the cookie. It's very difficult. Thomas says, hey, Ben, I was curious if you thought that the Democrats' run to the left is about more than just the makeup of the primary voting base. Is there also a degree of confidence that Trump is so unpopular he will lose no matter what, and that running to the left will allow them to claim a mandate for their far-left policies? Well, I do think that there is some of this. I think that the Democrats have convinced themselves that Trump is wildly unpopular, and they therefore believe that they can run as far left as they want to run. And so they are mistaking Trump's personal unpopularity with the unpopularity of his political program, and that's a huge mistake. That's not backed by polls or reality. Christopher says, hey, Ben, absolutely love your show. Listen to the whole 3 hours daily. Appreciate it. Have my kids yelling at my parents who only watch CNN. The Ben Shapiro Show. This is a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, mind you. Anyway, I live in Australia. Sometimes I wish I lived in the U.S., as long as the leftists aren't running the show. My question is around my parents. They're adamant that Trump is riding a good economy, which was set up by Obama. I'm not sure of good arguments against this. Is there any policy in which you suggest I should bring up and facts behind them to prove that, in fact, Trump is the reason behind the strong economy? Well, again, I think it's actually more complicated. Economics is more complicated than who is president. So there's a good case to be made that Bill Clinton was riding off the back of a strong Reagan economy. It is much easier for the president of the United States to quell economic growth than to create economic growth. What the markets generally look for is predictability in the and stability in sort of the background noise of the economy, meaning they know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, what you could point to is the fact that the GDP growth rates under Barack Obama were very low on average, around the 2% range, for most of the recovery that lasted from about 2009 all the way up to the present. But the fact is that those GDP rates accelerated dramatically in year one under the Trump administration. That was due to deregulation. It was due to the tax cuts. Again, I'm always loath to suggest that the president of the United States of any party is able to just jog the economy with his policies inevitably, but a president can certainly hurt the economy with his policies. And Barack Obama did quell growth by raising taxes, by increasing regulations, by creating a less friendly business environment. There are other ways in which Obama's trade policies, for example, were actually more free and open than some of the stuff that Trump has been pushing. And that's why you're starting to see the economy slow right now, because of the back of Chinese tariffs. Andre says, hey, Ben, I'm an immigrant from Colombia, holds the same views as you do on immigration. Most recently, I had a close friend of mine who's a teacher talk about students she has who have had their parents or relative arrested and deported and how much it has affected them in a negative way. Her post was very emotional and appealed to people's humanity. How do you respond to such emotional stories without compromising on what the real solutions should be and without sounding like you don't care at all? Honestly, I do care. I mean, I think that, of course, I feel terrible for a student who's had their parent deported. The question really is whether, for a country, sympathy alone is enough of a rationale for allowing immigrants into your country. The question is why the parent was deported. I don't have enough information to know. Was the parent deported simply because the parent was here illegally and the parent, let's say, was working without taking government benefits and was a benefit to the community and assimilating? In that case, I think that person should have a pathway to citizenship. Right? My view on immigration has always been that we ought to treat people like individuals the same way that we treat people like individuals under the law in the United States generally. Treating people by class is usually a large-scale mistake. Now, if the person was deported because they committed a crime, because they were on welfare, and because they were taking taxpayer dollars, because they had come here illegally without the permission of the U.S. government and cut people in line, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the parent. I have sympathy for the kid, but the parent put the kid in that position by illegally immigrating. That's not the U.S. government's fault. Right? We should try to figure out a way where families can come in together to be of benefit to the United States, so we have to regularize our immigration process. But none of that forecloses sympathy for the kid. It's not the kid's fault. Of course I feel terrible for the child. John says, hi, Ben. A couple weeks ago, you mentioned that if Joe Biden does not get the 2020 nomination, the Democratic Party will irreversibly turn even more radical than they already are. Do you think that in the future, the party will just go further and further to the left, or do you think it will cease to exist at some point? I wonder about this since the Democratic Party appears indistinguishable from other groups like the Socialist or Green parties. Thanks a lot for your thoughts. Have a great day. As I've said many times, I don't think that either party is poised to disappear. I do think that both parties have moved steadily to the left, particularly on issues of spending and regulation. And I think that more and more we are going to see the parties co-opted from forces inside the parties. The Democratic Party will just become the Green Party, effectively speaking. It won't be that it just disappears and the Green Party replaces it. I think that if I had to forecast politics for the next 20 years, basically over the next 20 years, the Democratic Party will become the Green Party and the Republican Party, as it has been wont to do, will continue to slide to the left on spending to the point where it now matches where the Democratic Party is. Because the Republican Party on spending now is where the Democratic Party was on spending in like 2005. It's pretty ridiculous. Clive says, Ben, in episode 18, you state that an atheistic society does not give you a reason to live. I disagree. In an atheistic society, your reason to live might be to be successful and enjoy life. Well, again, I'm not saying that that atheists on an individual level can't find a reason to live. I'm saying that a society that is based on godlessness, that is based on an idea that you are purposelessly here in the universe, on the John Paul Sartre idea, you're here purposelessly in the universe, that you have no free will, that you're a ball of meat wandering through space, that your life has no innate value above that of any animal life. I'm not sure how that grants a sense of purpose to anybody on a broad scale. I mean, you can find one, but you have to ignore some of the premises of your own philosophy. And which you can do. I mean, people live like this all the time. Cognitive dissonance. Wonderful thing. There are people, and the same thing holds true in the realm of morality. I know many atheists who are more moral people than many of the religious people I know. So I'm not talking about the individual level, really. I'm talking about if you are going to create a societal system that inculcates purpose and virtue in people, very hard to do that from an atheistic materialist basis. Now, I think that you can be an atheist without being a scientific materialist, but I'm wondering how you get to the notions of free will, the notions of virtue and morality, how you go from human beings are basically an evolutionary creation created by randomness mutated over the course of generations to deal with the environment, how you get from that to morality or purposefulness in life. Let's see. And if you want to know more about this, Clive, you can check out my book, The Right Side of History, largely about this topic. Dylan says, hey, Ben, I work at a liberal university managing public health telephone surveys. I recently have been working on a project that requires data collection in both English and Spanish, both of which I speak. However, I came upon information that Planned Parenthood is a stakeholder in the project. Being vehemently pro-life, I feel as though I can't collect data on this project and should speak with my boss. What would you recommend? So the question really is, when it says they're a stakeholder in the project, do they benefit from the project? And is it affecting how the project is done? Meaning, if you are gathering information on behalf of Planned Parenthood, then you're working for Planned Parenthood. Right? This is not quite the same thing as boycotting Equinox, where the person making money on the other end doesn't actually control the government policy. Right? It doesn't have to do with how the business is run. If that person, if Stephen Ross, who ran Equinox, was running a get-out-the-vote effort, then boycotting the get-out-the-vote effort seems to me perfectly reasonable. If effectively what you're talking about is a get-out-the-vote effort for Planned Parenthood, then going in and saying you don't want to be part of it, that seems reasonable to me. Let's see. Nathan says, Ben, love the show and everything you do. Live in the D.C. area and work Department of Defense. I hear a dozen different and probably useless explanations on Chinese currency manipulation. Wondering if you can give the elevator speech on the topic and offer a book, paper, something that can delve deeper into the topic. Thanks again, Nate. Well, when it comes to currency manipulation, you know, I'm always a fan of the sort of classical Viennese economists, folks like Friedrich Hayek, folks like Mises, right? They write about currency manipulation and its curses repeatedly. As I've told you before, as I've said before, I am a fan of the gold standard in which the government doesn't get to manipulate the level of currency. When it comes to Chinese currency manipulation, what people are worried about is that China is going to radically inflate its currency, and in doing so, it's going to make it very hard for the United States to import product into China and very easy for China to export product to the United States. Now, in the long run, devaluing your currency like that actually hurts your own citizens because now they're getting more and more expensive products and their savings are worth nothing. Right? So devaluing currency is not actually good for a country over any significant period of time. But when it comes to trade wars, devaluing your currency sometimes allows you to pay back debts with the devalued currency. Sometimes it allows you to export products, quote unquote, more cheaply because the exchange rate has just changed dramatically. Now, I am not sure that Chinese currency manipulation is behind what is currently going on in China. So people have been saying that China is manipulating its currency right now to inflate it. That seems to me quite plausibly the after effects of American tariffs against China. Because when we tariff the Chinese government, what we are actively doing is upvaluing our own currency. We're putting less American dollars into circulation, which means there are fewer of them available, which means that the demand stays the same. The supply is lowered. The price of an American dollar goes up. This means an immediate devaluation of the Chinese currency just as a natural consequence of America placing tariffs on Chinese goods. But labeling them a currency manipulator allows us to take different trade actions against them. Again, not clear that that's a good idea. Also not clear that it's actually an effective evaluation of the situation. We'll be back in just a second. But first, I need to take a moment to remind you there's a whole other world to this radio show over at dailywire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to The Ben Shapiro Show? Stop it. Don't let it happen again. Head on over to dailywire.com. You can watch all 3 hours of my radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome punim. Not only do you get my show, you'll also be able to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. You'll also get Michael Moles, if that's something that you want. I don't know why you would, but sure. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement. We'll keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to dailywire.com, become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store at Amazon.com. Stock up on official Daily Wire hoodies, t-shirts, sweaters, and more. That is dailywire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Also, you'll be helping us out. You'll be making sure the left can't take us down. Join us at dailywire.com. Okay, let's see. Maybe one more question. Michael says, hey, Ben, serious question. What would it take to turn the Star Wars franchise around for you with the upcoming Rise of Skywalker film? It was all a dream. It was all a dream. It would be the best possible solution. I think that we probably, at this point, have to redo all of it. It turns out that killing off all of your childhood heroes and making them losers was a very bad idea. And there's this line in The Last Jedi where Kylo Ren turns to Rey and says, why can't we just erase all of the past and then we'll start new, you and me? And it's a really interesting moment. And Rey's like, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Okay, the problem is that Disney is actually Kylo Ren. So they have taken all the nostalgia that you had for your childhood watching the Star Wars movies, and then they have killed off every one of those characters one by one. to benefit characters who are significantly less interesting on every possible level. It's terrible. I mean, I blame J.J. Abrams. I think this all start. I'm not going to blame Rian Johnson as the true creator of the Star Wars collapse. J.J. Abrams is a derivative B-movie director, and he directed seven? He directed episode seven with all of the creativity of a plagiarist. Hey, look, a Death Star. I'm shocked. Hey, look, it's a guy who's kind of he's just basically Darth Vader. That's amazing. But he created a great sin. The great sin, as I've said before, is that he took Han Solo, who was the coolest character in the original Star Wars, and turned him into a loser divorced dad who wanders around the universe in his Cadillac with the fuzzy dice and his best friend smoking weed, and then shows up only to be killed by his son at the behest of his wife he hasn't seen in 20 years for the dumbest possible reason. At that point, I was like, out. Sorry, I'm out. So, you know, I think that what would it take to make this happen? What would it take to make this more interesting and creative would be for there to be a sort of mixture of the light and dark side. There's been talk about this, that maybe Rey unifies the light and the dark, and that was sort of the move that Kylo Ren was making in the last movie. That would have been interesting. They were actually, honestly, like 15 seconds away from making that movie really fascinating, and that was Kylo Ren and Rey joining forces. Right? That would have been fascinating. And then the tension between them. Like, what they really should have done is they should have allowed Rey to move with Kylo Ren, and then they should have had the original Star Wars characters, because at that point, Luke is still alive. They should have had the original Star Wars characters then fighting against the newbies. Right? That would have been fascinating and really counterintuitive because, honestly, let's be real about this. Who cares about Kylo Ren and Rey? Like, just your sympathies don't lie with them. Your sympathies were always with the original characters because you have 40 years of nostalgia for those characters. Stupid. Okay, so here's my proposal. My proposal is we pretend that these movies never happened. It was all a dream. And then we either recast all of the original parts and pick up right where Return of the Jedi left off, with Admiral Thrawn still out there trying to reunite the fragments of the Empire. Or we fast forward 70 years, everybody's dead, there are statues of them in the Great Hall, and you just move on with whatever the universe is. Instead, they decided to have the baby, and you ended up with the worst of all possible scenarios. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Let's talk about what's killing us. The stuff that's hard to comprehend and getting worse every day. Join me, Stephanie Whittles-Wax, author and co-founder of the Lemonada Podcast Network, for my new podcast, Last Day. We will confront massive epidemics with humanity, wit, and a quest for progress. First up, the opioid crisis. Listen and subscribe to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, every day the media tried to get President Trump to step on a rake and say something racist. Today's attempt was they asked Donald Trump about Colin Kaepernick. Now, why we have to do this routine, why the president has to, why Trump has to be asked about Colin Kaepernick, who's not been relevant in American sports since I was a child at this point. Well, why exactly does Donald Trump have to comment on? No one knows. But Trump disappointed the press by giving what is basically a decent answer. He's asked about Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick had tweeted out a video of himself working out, saying it's been 888 days since he was last in the NFL, which it wouldn't be if, one, he had decided to not be a bad quarterback, and two, if he had decided not to make $1 million off of kneeling for the national anthem. In any case, Trump was asked about it and gave a less politically incorrect answer than that.
Should Colin Kaepernick get an opportunity to play in the NFL?
Only if he's good enough.
Is that it?
Yeah, if he's good enough. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Why would he play if he's good enough? And I think if he was good enough, I know the owners. I know Bob Kraft. I know so many of the owners. If he's good enough, they'd sign him. They would sign him in a heartbeat. They will do anything they can to win games. So I'd like to see it. Frankly, I'd love to see Kaepernick come in if he's good enough. But I don't want to see him come in because somebody thinks it's a good PR move.
Okay, that is a perfectly serviceable answer. Nonetheless, I'm sure that Trump will be called racist for it because you don't even have to wait for Trump to say something bad anymore. Now it's just he's racist just by dint of existing. Trump basically said that today. You want to nutshell the 2016 election. This would be it. Here's clip 21, Trump talking about how the left uses the charge of racism.
For them to throw out the race word again, racist, racist, racist. That's all they use to anybody. They call Nancy Pelosi a racist. She's not a racist. They call anybody a racist when they run out of cards. I'm winning in the polls. They're desperate. They've got lousy candidates. They got bad candidates.
Okay, fact check true. It is also true that President Trump is, when people say that he is treated unfairly by the press, I have a perfect example of that today. So there's this picture that is going around of President Trump posed with Melania holding the baby that was now an orphan baby because both parents were murdered in the El Paso shooting. And Trump and Melania are standing there posing for the cameras, and they're smiling. Now, does this mean that they are happy? Does this mean that they are actually happy about the shooting? No, it does not. It means that they're posing for photos. The other people in the photos are smiling as well because they are posing for a photo. Okay, and we're all supposed to be very offended by this, apparently. Now, if I thought that Trump were going in there just to smile and yuck it up and that nothing, it never entered his mind that this is a tragedy, that'd be one thing. But that's not what happened here. The Washington Post reports that the family of the baby wanted to meet Trump, went out of their way to meet Trump. The media narrative was that Trump said to everybody, go bring me the baby. I want to take a picture with the baby. That's not what happened. Quote, Tito Anchondo wishes people would stop politicizing his family's tragedy. Anchondo, who lost his beloved brother and sister-in-law in the rampage outside an El Paso Walmart on Saturday, said he chose to take his orphan nephew to University Medical Center of El Paso on Wednesday to meet the president and first lady. The two-month-old suffered two broken fingers in the shooting, but survived after his parents, Andre and Jordan Anchondo, shielded him from gunfire and were slain themselves. Tito Anchondo said he wanted to meet the president to tell him about his family's grievous pain. He was just there as a human being, consoling us and giving his condolences, he said about Trump in an interview outside his family's auto body shop in South Central El Paso. Melania Trump.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse, a timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Ravold, directed by Annie Bakalennikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
This is Todd Jones, Vice President of the Shasta Economic Development Corporation. Expanding commercial air service is a key component to sustainable economic vitality and growth. As you may know, the Shasta EDC was part of a team that helped to secure daily, nonstop round-trip service from Reading to Los Angeles. We need more people on each flight. The cost difference to fly out of Reading is minimal when compared to driving and parking at other airports. Help us expand our destinations by flying Reading as often as you can. Book today at united.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. House conservatives are calling for an ethics probe of the Texas congressman who tweeted the names of the Trump campaign donors.
Republicans accused Democrat Joaquin Castro of attempting to suppress free speech and encouraging harassment of supporters of his opponent simply because of their political beliefs. Castro, the brother of presidential candidate Julian, tweeted the names and business interests of 44 Texans who contributed the maximum of $2,700 to Mr. Trump, and he told his followers the contributions were, in his words, fueling a campaign of hate.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. In the wake of the recent mass shootings, one Republican senator has concerns about the idea of so-called red flag laws.
Red flag legislation is being pushed by some Republicans as a move toward shoring up the background checks needed before somebody can legally purchase a firearm. President Trump seems to support the idea, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's open to debate. Yet Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming says he has concerns that expanded background checks could easily be used to punish law-abiding citizens, infringing on their right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment. Bob Agnew reporting.
Walmart removing displays or videos showing violence from stores nationwide in response to a mass shooting at one of its stores in Texas, but the retailer will continue to sell guns. China has dismissed Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters as clowns and criminals while bemoaning growing violence surrounding the months-long demonstrations. That's partly out of concern that protesters' demands for expanded democracy could inspire like-minded officials and intellectuals on the mainland. Still, experts say that China shows no signs of preparing for a major crackdown, content to ignore the protests in the hopes that violence will turn Hong Kong's silent majority against the movement. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I want to keep my heart healthy, so I get my cholesterol checked regularly. And when my doctor told me my cholesterol was borderline, I found Garlique. According to my pharmacist, there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol. And one Garlique tablet is equal to a whole clove of garlic, except it's odor-free. Yep, I'm doing what I can for my cholesterol, and I'm doing it with Garlique.
Garlique, cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
President Trump has received a personal letter from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The president says the letter from Kim was hand-delivered to him on Thursday.
He really wrote a beautiful three-page, I mean, right from top to bottom, a really beautiful letter.
Mr. Trump downplayed North Korea's recent missile tests and said he expects there will be more talks aimed at resolving the standoff over North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Greg Clugston, The White House.
North Korea has reportedly fired more projectiles into the sea. It's likely another protest of the United States and South Korea continuing joint military exercises, the North says, are aimed at a northward invasion. South Korea's military says projectiles were launched twice from the area near the northeast coast. It didn't immediately identify the projectiles or how far they flew. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal appeals court has rejected a settlement in a class action lawsuit alleging that Google spied on users' online activity using tracking cookies, even when privacy settings were set to prevent the snooping. Correspondent Jeremy House has more on the story.
A three-judge panel ruled that a Delaware judge erred in approving the settlement in 2017. The settlement called for Google to stop using the cookies for Safari browsers and to pay $5.5 million to cover plaintiffs' legal expenses, incentive awards to class representatives, and contributions to data privacy organizations, some with prior ties to Google. In return, Google was released from potential liability for money damages. The appeals panel said the judge's cursory settlement analysis was insufficient. It expressed particular concern about the broad release of claims for money damages and the payments to outside groups. Jeremy House reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot going on for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we get to Walmart, which has now been pressured to remove video games from their shelves and guns from their stores, even though it was a shooting taking place at Walmart with a gun not bought from Walmart in El Paso that drove all of this. We'll also be speaking with a couple of police officers from Garden Grove in California, where a mass stabbing attack took place. The unconnected dots include the fact that there was a prison realignment in California that let a bunch of violent felons out of prison, including, apparently, the person responsible for the stabbings. We'll get to that. Plus, Joe Biden apparently thinks there are three genders. He can't name them. He got kind of spicy about it today. But we begin this hour with George P. Bush. He's Texas Land Commissioner, of course, the grandson of President George H.W. Bush, as well as the son of former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. And as Land Commissioner, he oversees an enormous amount of Texas's coastline and ensuring Texas veterans receive the benefits that they have earned. Mr. Bush, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Good to be with you, Ben.
So let's talk a little bit about what happened in El Paso. Obviously, this happened in your home state. You put out a tweet about El Paso and how seriously we ought to take white supremacy. Are we taking white supremacy seriously enough, white supremacist violence?
Well, we can always do better in terms of taking on extremism. And in my op-ed that I followed up on, I challenged the left to take on Islamic terrorism and fundamentalism in a stronger way. And equally, we need to challenge our fellow Americans as it relates to domestic terrorism. In the statistics back that up, as testified by Mr. Ray over at the FBI in front of the Senate from a few weeks back. But this was alarming because El Paso, you know, is a thriving community, definitely rooted in its military history with Fort Bliss. But if I've seen the spirit, and I think the rest of the country saw the spirit of Texans coming together, it's certainly resilient. But we could always do better as it comes down to shutting down extremism.
Commissioner Bush, to what do you attribute the lack of unity that we've seen in the aftermath of the shooting? It's been incredibly troubling to me. It seems as though most Americans, virtually all Americans, understand that white supremacist terrorism is, in fact, an act of evil. And yet we've seen this enormous polarization across the political divide over the shooting. I think that it's driven in large part by the left attempting to attribute the motives of the shooter to a vast, broad swath of Americans to perhaps lay at the feet of President Trump the shooting itself. Many Democrats are coming out there and just saying that overtly. Why do you think people are splitting over this thing?
Well, that would have been the unifying thing to do, right? If the left came forward and said, let's come forward with solutions. Let's try to address issues related to broken families and the underlying reasons why in this specific case in El Paso that this gentleman drove down to El Paso to assassinate, in his words, Mexicans from reporting this afternoon. But instead, they decided to politicize this. And I understand that politics is going to be evident in a year leading up to a presidential cycle. But to put this at the feet of the president, I think, is irresponsible. And there's been other responses that have called out specific donors to the president, saying that the blood is on their hands as well. And that's just dangerous. What elected leaders should be doing is coming together and coming together and thinking of solutions. But, you know, I look at the positive stories. I think about the young gentleman who's an enlisted Army official that was concealed carry, actually, that helped shield children and rescue them from danger. Those are the stories that we need to lift up instead of trying to, you know, score some political points in a presidential cycle.
We're speaking with Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush. Commissioner Bush, what do you make of the movement inside Texas politically? There's been a lot of talk recently about Republicans retiring from Congress in Texas, about the blue move in a lot of the suburbs of Texas, about the possibility of Texas going blue more generally. And that's largely being attributed not only to the movement in suburban Texas, but also to the way that Hispanics in Texas are thinking about the Republican Party. So I live in California, where Hispanics vote something like 70-30 for the Democrats, maybe 75-25 for Democrats. Obviously, in Texas, it's a lot more split. It's more like 55-45 for Democrats. Do you think that that is beginning to shift away from Republicans? And if so, why?
Well, I'm optimistic. You know, in 2014, when I first got elected, along with Senator Cornyn and Governor Abbott, we obtained a majority of the Hispanic vote. We have a lot of conservative Hispanics that are with us on everything from border security, illegal immigration, to Second Amendment issues. And to me, it's always been about messaging in the community, not showing up a day before Election Day, but showing up the day after an election and spending time with community leaders and expressing conservative ideas. I know you do an excellent job as it relates to conservative ideas in college campuses, where being a conservative is an afterthought. You know, the next generation certainly is not hearing that from their professors, and so it's important where elected officials spend time. But, you know, as it relates to the retirements, yeah, absolutely, it's a cause for concern, because, you know, when we did have the majority in the House, we had five gavels that were represented by Texans in relevant committees. So we do lose a lot of experience, but a lot of the candidates that are filing to run, whether it's the safe districts or challenging districts like Will Hurd's, we're seeing some really qualified folks that bring a wealth of experience ranging from the military to the private sector. So I can assure you that we're doing what we can, because the saying we hear in Texas, if we lose Texas, we lose the country. So we're doing what we can to fill the void.
When it comes to gun policy, Commissioner Bush, there's obviously been a lot of talk about gun control nationally on the state level as well. Texas obviously is a very gun-friendly state. It's a state where a huge number of Texans own firearms, believe that firearms ownership not only should be legal, but that legal owners should be well prepared. What do you make of the calls for gun control, and where do you think this is going on a federal level?
Well, there's always a knee-jerk reaction in response to mass shootings, but I always point the attention towards positive stories. So just yesterday in Springfield, Missouri, there was a concealed carry retired firefighter that stopped a potential mass shooting, or at least mitigated any shooting whatsoever from a young man. As I mentioned, the Army enlisted off-duty official was concealed carry in the vicinity of the Walmart shooting in El Paso. And so it's usually good guys with a gun that stop the bad guys. And so concealed carry has been effective. And when you study and look at how it changes the dynamic of an active shooter situation, and when you talk with law enforcement officials and spend time with them, they'll tell you that there's no way that we can police every single Walmart, every single soft target in our country. It's just not feasible. But what can be a force multiplier are folks that are law-abiding, that are concealed carry, that are protecting themselves and are in a position to help others. Are there ways in which we can, you know, as elected officials, maybe shine the light more on the issues, whether we were talking about white nationalism, fundamentalism from an Islamic standpoint, or other forms of violence? Yeah, we can do a better job. But if we legislate gun ownership, I don't think that it's going to mitigate as much violence as we're seeing until we treat the underlying issues of estrangement, of disappointment, and of in the confluence that we're seeing within the issues of mass shooting.
We're speaking to Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush. Commissioner Bush, final question for you. There's been an attempt to link immigration policy with white supremacy by the New York Times, most prominently today, trying to suggest that folks who are tough on border policy are inevitably racist, are pushing white supremacy. I obviously disagree. This sort of push, though, has led a lot of Democrats to polarize the immigration debate in pretty shocking ways, and obviously you've seen it polarized on the right as well. What do you think is the proper immigration policy living in a border state with an enormous number of citizens who are immigrants to the United States?
Well, again, I think the folks on the left are conflating the two issues, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous rhetoric. We need to separate immigration because it's too large in its own right for congressional leaders to focus on. And so, I just recently spent some time in the RGB headquarter office, and this is really one of four areas of responsibility for our Customs Border Patrol along the Texas border. And they receive, or they have been involved in, half of all apprehensions along the entire U.S.-Mexican border, not just the Texas-Mexican border. And our officials are overwhelmed. We need to do a better job of staffing up, of doing what we can to support ICE officials so that they can enforce existing immigration laws. As I mentioned before, politically, it works within the Hispanic community. You can be tough on immigration, but support legal immigration. And that's what, the Hispanic community has always been for. My mom is a legal immigrant herself, and people within the Hispanic community value people that wait in line and wait their turn through the legal process. So let's focus on that issue separately. Let's hope our congressional leaders can come together for once to help alleviate the crisis that we're seeing at the border.
George P. Bush, Texas Land Commissioner, thank you so much for your time, sir, and good luck with everything you're doing.
Absolutely, Ben. Look us up in Texas.
Definitely will. Coming up, I want to talk to you about the saddest story of the day. People who paid a bunch of money for a SoulCycle ride but now are upset because it turns out that one of the main owners of SoulCycle is a Trump supporter. It's the saddest story you're going to hear all day if you're a stupid person. If you're a smart person, it's kind of funny, actually. We'll get to that in just one second. First, I'm constantly concerned about people looking for my data online, people who want to hack me, people who are looking to just use my data as big tech very often uses my data. And when I'm at an airport, when I'm traveling abroad, I'm always concerned about people cracking down on my ability to visit websites that I want to visit, news websites if you're in certain countries. Well, there's one app that's going to keep you safe and secure online while you're away. That app, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN encrypts your data while you surf the internet on public airport and hotel Wi-Fi. With ExpressVPN, you can unblock all your favorite websites. You can have access to the internet just like you would if you were at home. ExpressVPN runs in the background of your computer or your phone, and then you just use the internet the way you normally would. So you install it, you hit the button, and now you're good to go. You download the app, you click to connect, voila, you are protected. I never go online while traveling. Without ExpressVPN, you should not either. It costs less than $7 per month. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So go protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months for free at expressvpn.com/ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben for 3 months free with that 1 year package. Again, that's visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben, ExpressVPN.com/Ben to learn more. Go check it out. Okay, so here is the saddest story of the day, courtesy of the New York Times. They paid $42 for a SoulCycle ride, not for Trump. This is by Catherine Rosman. Watermill, New York. Dressed in workout clothes, Lulu Hall hovered by the front door of the SoulCycle studio while fighting back tears. Did she just get bad news? Did she find out she had cancer or something? No. She had already signed up for Thursday's 10 a.m. indoor cycling fitness class when she learned that Stephen Ross, the chairman of the related companies whose principals own majority stakes in SoulCycle and the fitness club chain Equinox, was planning to host a fundraiser at his Hamptons home for President Trump on Friday. Miss Hall, a stay-at-home mom who lives in Brooklyn and nearby Sag Harbor, New York, is a regular SoulCycle customer who has found inspiration in the brand's message of sweaty spirituality and community. But she is not a supporter of Mr. Trump's and was alarmed to realize that the money she spends at SoulCycle, where 45-minute classes held in the Hamptons cost $42, was profiting a Trump booster who would be hosting the president at his home just a few miles from her morning ride. "I don't know what to do," she said as class was about to begin. "Part of me feels like a hypocrite for going." Briggs Coleman, who lives in West Palm Beach, Florida, and spends summers in the Hamptons, had no such concerns. I don't want to hear about politics while I'm working out, she said. There's a lack of respect. People should just respect the president, she said, adding an expletive. Amid a summer of division and dissent over treatment of migrants, political rhetoric and gun safety, the anger that has roiled 2020 campaign events and social media feeds has landed with a barbell's thud on the fitness studios, where the well-heeled pay for expensive club memberships and boutique classes to release tension and burn fat. The controversy may seem trivial in the scope of things. Yeah, yeah, it does, yeah. Especially to people directly affected by news of the past week. But many bystanders, engaged or enraged by those events, were troubled by the financial connection to SoulCycle and Equinox and a president whose policies they do not support. Oh, oh, what tragedy. Inside the 10 a.m. class at the Watermill Studio on Thursday, it was entirely perspiration and no politics. All but a handful of the nearly 70 bikes were occupied by ponytail-wagging, sports bra-wearing riders who had shown up for a workout led by Maria D'Angelo, one of the company's most popular instructors. As Havana by Camille Cabello and Eminem's The Real Slim Shady blasted in the darkroom, the mostly female cyclers swayed and bopped like dancers at a club exclusively for stationary bikers. Toward the end of the class, the staffers who had been working at the check-in desk skipped in and sashayed across the studio wielding flashlights and positive attitudes. Many bikers swung hand towels above their heads. In the parking lot after class, the feel-good endorphins turned to agitated adrenaline as some riders realized a reporter was present. "Are you here to ruin people's day?" shouted one woman wearing a baseball cap with the word love written in rainbow letters. Her friend called out, "I love you, SoulCycle." So it's kind of fun. Okay, I got to admit, this is kind of fun. Watching the left argue with itself over whether they're allowed to go to a cycling class because one of the investors is a Republican. You deserve every bit of this. All the virtue signaling, coming into conflict with you not being able to go to your favorite spin class. This is what America deserves. This is the stupid America deserves. Alrighty, coming up, we have to talk about the possibility of voter fraud, or at the very least, of ridiculously bad voter registration processes in California. Should we be worried about how voters are to get registered? This story suggests yes. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Let's talk about what's killing us, the stuff that's hard to comprehend and getting worse every day. Join me, Stephanie Wittles-Wax, author and co-founder of the Lemonada Podcast Network, for my new podcast, Last Day. We will confront massive epidemics with humanity, wit, and a quest for progress. First up, the opioid crisis. Listen and subscribe to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you remember how Democrats keep claiming that Republicans are very much into voter suppression? They don't want people to vote. That's the real issue here. Voter ID laws, they're all about voter suppression. It's not that people can reasonably be concerned about fake voter registrations or vote gathering, which is this practice where you'll see motivated members of a political party go to specific houses to pick up absentee ballots, for example, vote harvesting. That people shouldn't be worried about that. This is what the left claims. Well, there's a story out of California today that should be at least mildly disquieting. Nearly 84,000 duplicate voter records were found in an audit of California's motor voter system. So California has a dumb thing where when you go to register for your driver's license, you can also register to vote. Well, the problem is that California also grants driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, for example. Well, all of this has led to some confusion. According to the Los Angeles Times, California's ambitious efforts to automate voter registration at Department of Motor Vehicle offices produced almost 84,000 duplicate records, more than twice that number with political party mistakes, according to an audit released Friday by state officials. That analysis covered just the first 5 months of the new motor voter program, which was launched in April 2018. It found a wide array of problems with the rollout of the DMV system, including a limited amount of testing, as well as inconsistent and confusing lines of communication between the state agencies involved in its creation. Auditors reviewed more than 3 million voter registration files, comparing the records from both the DMV and California Secretary of State. They found 83,684 duplicate voter registration records, a mistake attributed to inconsistencies in what was listed for voters' political party preferences. This action resulted in no impact to voter eligibility. Keeley Martin Bosler, director of the State Department of Finance, wrote in a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom, separately, the audit found additional errors in voter registration related to party preferences. Investigators wrote that 171,145 DMV records contained entries indicating a person's political party, but no such associated designation within the data received by state elections officials. Now, none of this is great. The fact that people are suggesting that maybe when you show up to vote, you should just show your ID to show that your address and name match what you say they are. The fact that that is considered racist or voter suppression is totally asinine. And it doesn't matter to all those folks that apparently there are real flaws in how this system is actually created, how it is used. Now, anybody who remarks that maybe there's a problem with the voting registration system, anybody who points that out, again, just another form of white supremacy, because everything is a form of white supremacy, apparently. And now, meanwhile, in other news of stupid boycotts, people are saying they're going to boycott Walmart. It's nonsense. None of these people are going to boycott Walmart. Let me explain something about boycotts. And our advertisers should listen up. Whenever there are a bunch of people on Twitter who hashtag they're going to boycott something, chances are they didn't shop there in the first place. And chances are excellent that they are certainly not going to boycott it. See, it takes you like a second to hashtag out a hashtag like boycott Walmart. But it takes some actual effort to think, what's the alternative store I'm going to go to if not Walmart? It takes some real concern to think, okay, what do I need to buy at Walmart, and where can I get it elsewhere? People are not going to do that. They're hashtagging this stuff to create a sense of panic over at the Walmart headquarters so that Walmart does stupid stuff like remove violent video game displays. There's no evidence that removing violent video game displays is going to prevent mass shootings. And also, it's not going to buy off the left. Because the left says, well, you know, Walmart still sells guns. Yes, well, how many Walmart guns have been linked to mass shootings? Like, really, by statistics, how many have they sold and how many have been linked to mass shootings? Spokesperson Tara House of Walmart told the Huffington Post, which is just an activist group, the Huffington Post, a lot of these left-wing outlets, they're not reporting on the boycotts. They are spurring the boycotts and then reporting on them. So what they will do is they will call up advertisers or they will call up stores, they will call up chains, and they will say, how could you remain silent on X? And this, of course, spurs the corporation to say, well, we can't remain silent. We have to do something. You know what will make the country better? When all these corporations basically tell the Huffington Post and Media Matters and all these other activist groups to stuff it. Then we can all go back to our daily lives without worrying about who ends up in the Twitter boo box today. Absolute stupidity. Okay, in just a second, we're going to talk about policy that actually does exacerbate violence. We're going to be talking with the Chief of Police, Tom DeRay, and Lieutenant Carl Whitney from the Garden Grove Police Department. There was a mass stabbing in the last couple of days that got very little media attention. We'll discuss it. This is The Ben Shapiro.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots.
We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, there was a pretty violent mass violence incident that happened in California over the last few days. It happened actually on Wednesday evening in California. It was largely ignored by the media in the aftermath, mainly because it was not conducted with guns. Four people were killed. Another two were injured Wednesday evening, August 7th, in a series of robberies and stabbings that started in Garden Grove, California, and ended in Santa Ana. A 33-year-old man was arrested at a 7-Eleven in Santa Ana. That's one of eight crime scenes in the two-hour spree that straddled the two cities. His name was not released. I'm interested in this case, not really because of the difference between guns and knives, but specifically because what it has to say about some other policies that California has pursued on crime. Joining me on the line to discuss all of this is the chief of police in Garden Grove, Tom DeRay, as well as Lieutenant Carl Whitney. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining the show.
No, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.
So, Chief DeRay, why don't we start with you? Why don't you explain for a moment what exactly happened? What was this crime? It did generate a bit of national attention in the immediate aftermath.
Sure. So we had an individual, Zachary Castaneda, and it all began at 4:09 p.m. with the residential burglary of an apartment in our city at an apartment complex. At 4:23 p.m., we had an armed robbery at a bakery located a short distance away, and the same suspect, Zachary Castaneda, was reportedly armed with a handgun, and the loss was cash. At 5:04 p.m., we had reports of a stabbing back at the apartment at 12612 Gentius in our city. It was the same location as a residential burglary, which was reported at 4:09 p.m. We had officers arrived on scene, located two adult male victims, whom later died from multiple stab wounds. One male victim was 62 years old. The other male victim has not been identified. At that point, we began receiving reports south of where we were at of multiple robberies and attempted murders along a busy street in our city called Harbor Boulevard, where we had several units, police units, respond to that location. We found it at one of the locations, which was a check cashing business, as well as an insurance business. They had two businesses inside one location that a female had been stabbed multiple times. She's recovering from her injuries. Additionally, while we're handling those scenes, we're getting additional reports of another assault with a deadly weapon and robbery where Zachary Castaneda stabbed and basically severed the nose off of one individual, one victim, and stabbed him multiple times in the back. Now, the interesting portion about this is Zachary Castaneda stayed behind to fill up his gas tank even after this attack. So Zachary Castaneda continued into the city of Santa Ana, where he went into two other locations, stabbed individual at the subway in the city of Santa Ana who died of their injuries, and went across the street to a 7-Eleven convenience store and brutally attacked a security guard who was armed, not working there, just going in to get a soda. Never knew that this suspect was attacking him. And after the attack, Zachary Castaneda cut off the security guard's firearm. Now, right before that, our undercover officers actually came out and located the vehicle. About 45 seconds later, Zachary Castaneda came out of that convenience store carrying a handgun, which was still in the holster, and a large knife. He eventually threw down his weapons, complied with the officers, and was taken into custody.
Lieutenant Whitney, what exactly is the perpetrator, is the suspect, what exactly is his criminal background? This obviously didn't come out of nowhere.
This guy's just recently discharged from what's called post-release community supervision, which is under Assembly Bill 109, which has really impacted law enforcement here in California. So he just discharged from PRCS probation, has a lengthy criminal history, and he's been in and out of prison. What sent him to prison was back in 2014. He got convicted of 14 different felonies here in the state, ranging from assault weapons, drug trafficking, different crimes that were pretty violent. So he went to prison, and under certain sentencing guidelines, he was sent to 4 years of prison, but was able to get out in 15 months. So he was released to our Orange County Probation Department under PRCS probation, where he was supervised from January of 16 to May of 2019. And during that time, he violated his PRCS probation terms numerous times, at least seven different times. I was just counting up the days where he was supposed to be in custody for these violations. It was almost 2.5 years he was supposed to be in custody, but because of certain guidelines and credits for time served, he only did 10 months in county jail, never went back to prison. So he was in and out, revolving door, was defiant with the probation department, didn't care that he was going to be going back to Orange County jail, and continued to commit other crimes like drug trafficking, possession of weapons, domestic violence order stuff. He just continued to do this, and it hasn't stopped, and it led right up to our crimes that happened just a couple days ago, where four people lost their lives, and we had two people severely maimed from this guy.
We're speaking with the Garden Grove Police Department Chief of Police Tom DeRay and Lieutenant Carl Whitney. Chief DeRay, let's talk about Assembly Bill 109. So when this originally was passed, it was specifically done at the behest of Governor Brown, then the governor, who was pushing the idea that he wasn't going to build new jails, that we needed to reduce the prison population in the state of California. And the realignment, the prison alignment that was pursued, was to push all of these offenders basically from the state level down to the local level. What's been the impact in Garden Grove, in the state of California, as far as you see it from a law enforcement perspective?
I mean, so the impact is, you know, Assembly Bill 109 was one thing. In 2014, you had Proposition 47, which was passed. It was a voter-approved legislation, which really made all of our drug felonies for possession misdemeanors, which means that if we arrest someone for possession of methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, anything like that, we cannot book them into Orange County Jail anymore. We have to cite and release, which we just issue them a citation, and they're done. They don't even go to jail. So we used to have when they became first offenders, second offenders, we used to have court-appointed drug rehabilitation, but we really lost that when this Proposition 47 and Proposition 57 was passed. Really, it's a trifecta. It's you have AB 109, and then you have these two propositions. No one goes to jail anymore. They do not go to jail unless they commit some type of violent felony.
It does feel, Chief DeRay, as though a lot of the stats are being gamed here, because when you actually read the accounts from Los Angeles Times or the Sacramento Bee, they'll consistently suggest that crime rates in California have not been going up. But I live in the city of Los Angeles. I spend time all around California. I can't talk to any citizens, really, who don't feel that the living conditions have gotten worse. There isn't more crime. There aren't more drugs on the streets. Now, from your perception in law enforcement, has there been an increase of crime in the areas that you're looking at since all of this happened?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, in 2015, I can tell you my department and many other departments in Orange County, our crime rate spiked. So when I'm talking about part one crimes that we really track is murder, any type of burglary, rape, robbery, anything like that, all of those jumped, increased 50%. So it was instantly in 2015, we watched an increase of 50%, and it has been level since. It has not dropped back down to where the 2013, 2012 statistics were at. we're still continuing to rise.
I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff in an era when everybody seems very concerned about what they call mass incarceration, that California, a state that tried to prevent mass incarceration by freeing an inordinate number of criminals, shockingly, it turns out a lot of those criminals go back to being criminals. I mean, the recidivism rate here, it has to be extraordinarily high. I mean, every study I've ever seen of recidivism among offenders who get out of prison suggests that the recidivism rate is high enough that most of those people end up back in prison in a fairly short period of time. Correct, Chief Ferre?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, but we only have the ability to work with our probation department and issue what we call flash holds. So if someone violates the terms and conditions of their probation, they can only do 10 days on a flash hold in county jail. Now, you're talking about hardcore prisoners that were kind of educated inside the prison system, and now we're bringing them into a county facility where we're not trained, nor are we have the infrastructure to really house these type of individuals.
I mean, this is all a disaster area, obviously. Thank you for what you're doing out there trying to keep the public safe. Chief of Police Tom DeRay and Lieutenant Carl Whitney of the Garden Grove Police Department, really appreciate your time. Stay safe out there, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about how to deal with crime in the United States and the fact that all of the attempts to quash police efficacy in actually fighting crime damage the very communities they're supposed to be helping. We'll talk about that in just one second. First, time is quickly running out to purchase tickets to our Backstage Live show. We have a special one-night-only event, August 21st, at the beautiful Terrace Theater in Long Beach, California. So if you're in California, now would be the time to buy your ticket. I will be there, Daily Wire God King Jeremy Boring will be there, Andrew Clavin will be there, Michael Moles will be there as well, if that's something you want. We'll all be there live, and we'll be talking politics, pop culture, answering your questions from the audience. Tickets are on sale right now at dailywire.com/backstage. Including our limited VIP packages that guarantee premium seating, photos, meet and greets with each of us, a gift from me. I've been shopping for it for you. It's just incredible. And more. They're selling fast. Head on over to dailywire.com/backstage. Reserve yours today. The tickets will be gone by next week, so go check them out again. dailywire.com/backstage. I know people are flying in from all over the country. I believe it's our only backstage event that is booked for the entire year. So if this is something you're interested in, now's the time to do it. And that's dailywire.com/backstage, and I will see you there. Okay, so this week marks the fifth anniversary of what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. It's 5 years since Ferguson, Missouri. This is when Michael Brown was shot. Now, as we all recall, if you're old enough, Michael Brown was a black 18-year-old who robbed a convenience store and then proceeded to walk out of the convenience store. He was walking down the road. He was pulled over by an officer. The officer proceeded to ask him to stop. Brown approached the car, according to physical testimony and witness testimony. He then reached through the window of the car, punched the officer, tried to grab the officer's gun. The gun went off in the car. Brown took off down the street. The officer popped out of the car and drew his gun, at which point Brown turned around and then charged the officer. And witness testimony at the time came from people like one Dorian Johnson, who is friends with Brown. And Dorian Johnson just overtly lied about it. He suggested to the press that Michael Brown had been shot in the back, that he had raised his hands, and he had said, hands up, don't shoot. And it turns out that not only is that not true, the witness testimony proved precisely the opposite, that Brown had not raised his hands, that Brown had charged the police officer. Well, the media is still trying to portray this as an act of police brutality. They have a piece today called Dorian Johnson's The Washington Post, witness to the Ferguson shooting, sticks by his story. And they say the killing of Michael Brown on August 9th, 2019, became one of the most incendiary events in American history, exposing deep divides over race and justice, helping to spark a national movement for police accountability. Johnson's assertion that Brown was trying to surrender when Wilson killed him spawned the movement's most powerful rallying cry, hands up, don't shoot. Ultimately, two separate law enforcement investigations concluded Brown did not have his hands in the air when Wilson opened fire. But controversy over Johnson's account raged for months. We had the President of the United States suggesting that people in Ferguson would never make up an incident like Dorian Johnson apparently made up this incident. The Washington Post says, after just a few public statements, Johnson became a ghost, virtually vanishing from the all-consuming narrative he had helped set in motion. 5 years later, in a series of interviews with the Washington Post, Johnson provided his fullest accounting of what he believes happened that day on Canfield Drive. Believes happened. He's supposed to be a witness. His very first quote in this story demonstrates that his story is full of crap. And here's his first quote. Quote, his hands were definitely up when he turned around. Whether his hands were up, or halfway up, or fully down or up, he was killed and he was unarmed. Wait, what now? So he definitely had his hands up, but his hands might have been up, or halfway up, or fully down, one of those. He wasn't posing a threat, Johnson said, despite the fact there was other witness testimony that Brown, a very, very large man, was running at the police officer. There's a bunch of articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post talking about the fallout in Ferguson. Here's the bottom line. Ferguson is not a much better place to live today than it was when the Michael Brown shooting happened. Why? Because it turns out that suggesting that police departments are largely responsible for crime rates in communities is nonsense. Now, there are certain things that should have changed in Ferguson. One of those things, obviously, was the attempt to fine people for the benefit of the local government and the police. Right? That would have been one thing that was worth actually stopping. And that was stopped. But it turns out that hasn't had a massive effect on living conditions in Ferguson. There's a piece at the New York Times saying, quote, 5 years after Ferguson was upended by a police shooting, setting off a national reckoning, a generation has grown up amid uneven progress. By uneven progress, they mean effectively not much progress at all. Despite the national attention, despite the riots that were supposed to solve everything, not so much. Not so much. And this is going to continue, okay? This sort of horrible relationship between citizens and the police, it's going to continue so long as two things happen. One, there are bad incidents, obviously. And two, so long as the media continue to promote the narrative that police departments across the country are brutally racist, that mass incarceration is a result of police racism, and that if it weren't for the police, everything would be hunky-dory. That is nonsense. I mean, here's a quote from this New York Times piece. It's about this 7-year-old named David. His mother, Amina Ali, 30, she talked to the New York Times, says David's mother got involved in a citizen journalism project after the shooting of Michael Brown and took David along to protest when he was a preschooler. But one night, after she had to scoop David into her arms and race to her car when gunfire erupted, she began to notice the toll. She says, I overexposed him. I just felt like my son needs to be out here. He needs to be exposed to what the police are doing to us. But he was too young. The crime in Ferguson is not a result of the police mistreating people. It is a result of people in Ferguson mistreating other people. There's a quote in this article. It says, David and his mother were driving on a summer afternoon when the conversation turned, as it often does in Ferguson, to race and injustice. By the way, the new police chief in Ferguson, I believe, is black. They've dramatically redone the police force, so a huge percentage of the police force is now black. David piped up from the backseat, quote, I can fight the police. He's 7. No, you can't. Yes, I will. David, his mother said, you're going to end up dead if you do that. Quit using your imagination. It's time to use reality. Where do you think David is getting that exactly? I can fight the police. And how is that a good idea? How is that good for the country or good for the community of Ferguson or good for the kid or the mom? If you want to get to actual solutions to crime, you're going to have to talk about where crime comes from, and it doesn't come from law enforcement enforcing the law. By the way, if you want to stop terrible associations between law enforcement and citizens, one of the things that does that is lowering the crime rate overall so the police have fewer excuses to be policing the neighborhood. So there are less interactions between police and the citizens. Fewer interactions. All righty, coming up, Joe Biden gaffes again. There's a couple of different gaffes today. We'll go through them. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Let's talk about what's killing us. The stuff that's hard to comprehend and getting worse every day. Join me, Stephanie Whittles-Wax, author and co-founder of the Lemonada Podcast Network, for my new podcast, Last Day. We will confront massive epidemics with humanity, wit, and a quest for progress. First up, the opioid crisis. Listen and subscribe to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. When I say that Joe Biden is the most sane of the candidates, I don't mean that he is not insane. I just mean he is the most sane. He's still kind of crazy. So yesterday he had a bit of a flub. By a bit, I mean a pretty bad flub. He was talking about education while in Iowa. And by the way, if you ever want his help, you should text Iowa to 30330joe3030.com. And Joe Biden was talking about education, and he basically suggested that all the poor people in the country are not white, which is really kind of racist. Here is Joe Biden.
We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids.
What? Now? Whoop. Zip. That's not great. That's not great. Well, moderate Joe Biden also had another moment today. So he was in a crowd in Iowa, and a member of TPUSA, Turning Point USA, went up to him and asked him a very simple question. How many genders are there? Now, a normal person says there are two, right? That is what a person who is not hip to the woke SJW nonsense that says there are infinite genders would say. Now, if you are truly woke, you say infinite. Right, you say infinity genders. Everyone has their own gender. Gender is a construct, man. Instead, Joe Biden pulls out a number that is not two and not infinity. One great. Here he was.
Sorry. Thank you.
Girl says, I'm a student here. How many genders are there? And then she says, so what are they? And he says, don't play games with me, kid. And then he reaches out, grabs her by the arm, and then he says, the first person for gay marriage was me. The first person for gay marriage was me. Okay, so I desperately hope, desperately, that the first question at the next Democratic debate is how many genders are there? You want to ensure the Democrat doesn't become president? Ask that question. Because what you will get from them is a woke-off. You will get Joe Biden saying there are at least three, and then Cory Booker putting on his angry eyes, and then explaining, no, there aren't three. What about the asexual? What about the non-gender binary attack helicopters among us? There are at least five. And then Elizabeth Warren will pop in and she'll be like, no, as the official Native American representative of this race, there are at least nine. And then eventually Bill de Blasio will just crash through the wall like the Kool-Aid man and go, infinity! And that's because this is all silly. Now, it does actually have public policy ramifications, right? The same people arguing there are three genders are the people who are arguing that men should be allowed to compete in women's sports.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffith. President Donald Trump says there's increasing momentum for passing a law requiring gun background checks.
In the wake of the recent mass shootings in Texas and Ohio, the president is expressing optimism about legislative action.
I think we can have some really meaningful background checks.
He says he wants to stop the gun violence.
We don't want people that are mentally ill, people that are sick. We don't want them having guns.
The president says he has lobbied Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and has been speaking with other congressional leaders, as well as with the NRA. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Missouri files charges against a 20-year-old who brought loaded guns and more into a Walmart. Correspondent Tim McGuire has more on the story.
State terrorist charges have been filed against a 20-year-old who sent shoppers scrambling for the exits when he walked into a Springfield, Missouri Walmart dressed in body armor, carrying a loaded rifle and handgun. Police Lieutenant Mike Lucas tells KSPR.
What's happened in Texas and Dayton and all that kind of stuff in the last 7 days, that's on everybody's mind.
Greene County Prosecuting Attorney Dan Patterson compares the man's actions to falsely shouting fire in a theater, causing a panic. Police say Dmitry Enderchenko told them he was testing to see if Walmart would honor his constitutional right to bear arms. I'm Tim McGuire.
North Korea has reportedly fired more projectiles into the sea. It is likely that another protest at the United States and South Korea continuing joint military exercises that the North says are aimed at a northward invasion. South Korea's military says projectiles were launched twice from an area near the North's east coast. It didn't immediately identify the projectiles or how far they flew. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, I'm Milo Ventimiglia.
And I'm Amanda Seyfried.
Now, meet the dog who will show the world how to be human.
Set me free.
Enzo is more than just a dog. He is an old soul.
He's a spiritual being.
I think audiences are going to pick up the importance of family, focusing on those things that are giving back to you in life.
The most emotional things are the things that stay with you and teach you you can get through anything.
Call it fate, call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be their dog.
Set me free.
The Art of Racing in the Rain. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now play.
Egyptian security forces say they've killed 17 militants who were linked to a recent car bomb explosion in Cairo, in which at least 20 people died.
Egyptian authorities say the suspected militants were killed during 3 raids in Cairo and a province south of the capital. The Interior Ministry also say they've identified the bomber behind Sunday night's attack when a car laden with explosives rammed vehicles outside the National Cancer Institute. The authorities claim the 24-year-old man was a member of what they describe as the Hassam terrorist cluster cell. Egypt accuses Hassam of being a wing of the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood.
The BBC's Martin Patience, 6 of 7 Mississippi chicken processing plants raided Wednesday, were willfully and unlawfully employing people who lacked authorization to work in the United States. News and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says that the cancer warning labels for the Monsanto bear weed killer Roundup will no longer be allowed. We hear more now from correspondent Mike Gracia with the story.
The Trump administration has moved to block California from enforcing a warning label requirement for a popular weed killer. California regulators twice concluded glyphosate did not pose a cancer risk for drinking water, but in 2015, the International Agency for Research on Cancer classified the chemical as probably carcinogenic. That finding triggered a warning label requirement under California law. In a letter to chemical companies, the EPA Michael L. Goodis says the agency considers labels that say glyphosate can cause cancer to constitute a false and misleading statement, which is prohibited under federal law. Glyphosate is marketed by Monsanto under the brand name Roundup. I'm Mike Gracia.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Surprise, it's Friday, and you've got a guest host, Mike Opelka, in for my friend, Chris Plant. And I'm not lying. Well, I'm not lying. I am here, and I'm not lying that I am actually a friend of Chris Plant's. We were childhood neighbors, and not exactly friends as kids, but when we got all grown up and haired over, golly, Bob, howdy, we're on the same page, and that's a wonderful thing. And I'm here today to celebrate the weekend with you. Hopefully, we'll have some fun. We'll educate a few of you, and maybe you'll educate me. And then we'll go and have a weekend. But there's much to cover today, much to deal with, much to point fingers at. And we're also going to throw some Bravo Sierra flags today. And if you need me to explain what the Bravo Sierra flag is, you're not thinking. So just take a moment and say, Bravo Sierra, what are the first 2 letters of each one of those words? Yeah, oh, wow, look at that. So we'll be throwing some Bravo Sierra flags around today, calling out the mainstream media, calling out the left side of the political spectrum for their hypocrisy, their duplicity, their insanity. I know, it's like a law firm. Duplicity, hypocrisy, and insanity, otherwise known as the Democratic Party. Welcome to it. If you want to join the conversation today, always welcome here on the Chris Plant Show. The numbers you know, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. I don't even know where to begin, and yet I do. I, like many in the conservative media sphere, keep an eye on CNN and MSNBC. Why? Because we want to call them out when they're doing things that is untruthful and crazy and wrong, deceitful. And so I open up today with something that I noticed just a couple of days ago. I happened to be trolling through CNN's early morning feed, and they had a guy in from North Korea, their guy Will Ripley. Will, his claim to fame And if it's like meeting a vegan. You know how you know someone's a vegan? You know how you can tell if someone's a vegan? Well, you don't have to. They'll tell you. Same thing with Will Ripley. You know how someone's gone to North Korea? They tell you. Will Ripley introduced himself by saying, "Hi, Will Ripley, CNN, been to North Korea 19 times. 19. Anyone in the room beat that? 19 times? Now, that's cool. Good for you. God bless. But Will Ripley is on the air, and they're talking about the news of the day, which highlighted guns and gun control and gun violence in the country. And Ripley just decides to pass off a little anecdote to his co-host, Christine, I forget her name, Romans. She's the one who has the Roman numbers on the show. She's an economy expert. And he says to her, "You know, Christine, in my travels around the world, 19 times in North Korea, in my travels, people come up to me at airports and say, 'Hello, hello, Will Ripley from CNN, regular visitor to North Korea. You know, we love America. We're very happy with America. But why can't you guys end the gun violence? Why can't America do something about the gun violence?'" And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, that's actually kind of odd, right? Because I see people of note all the time on my travels around the country, around the world. And when I see people, especially famous people, I might walk up and introduce myself to them and tell them what I like about their work, etc. But I don't think I've ever gone up and said, "Hey," to a politician, "Hey, can't you guys fix that gun thing?" Or I've never gone up to a person in England, and I've been to England recently. I didn't say, "Can't you guys fix that knife thing? Can't you do something about all the knifing and the no-go zones?" But then I thought, well, maybe Will Ripley's a little bit of a star in that sort of media. So I let it go. And I just filed it. And then Wolf Blitzer came on the screen several hours later. And Wolf Blitzer, he's an amiable sort. I've run into him on the Acela train back and forth from D.C. to New York, and really an approachable, kind man. And Wolf Blitzer said something, and I was reaching for the Bravo Sierra flag so quickly that, well, I think you'll understand why. Here's Wolfie.
"As I've pointed out, when I travel around the world, people always come up to me. They say they admire the United States, but they wonder why guns are so available and why there are so many mass shootings in the United States."
Hmm. Is he channeling Mr. Ripley, the talented Mr. Ripley? Or was Mr. Ripley listening to Wolf Blitzer that evening before, and he got up and he thought, you know, that's a great thing, what Wolf said there? Or is there a directive from the corporate overlords at CNN to make sure that everybody gets the message out that the rest of the world wants to know why America can't stop its gun violence problem? Ugh. I know. I'm keeping an eye on them so you don't have to. But it's got to be something. And I actually reached out to one of Chris's least favorite people at CNN, Berman. You know, Berman, the guy who Chris really doesn't like. But Berman and I have had a textual relationship for the last few years because I challenge him, and he responds, which is actually kind of interesting that I can call him out on stuff and he will respond. And I said, "Hey, what's up with Wolf and Ripley both talking about people coming up to them at the airport and saying, 'Hey, America's got a gun problem. How come you guys can't fix that?'" And he claims, and I have his text, which I guess I could screen cap and post it, but I haven't asked him about that. But he claims that Ripley is a stand-up guy. He's a stand-up guy. I guess we'll see him at the Chuckle Hut this weekend. I don't know. But anyway, I digress. That's the kind of week I have. That's the kind of moments I have when monitoring the mainstream media. Today's going to be an interesting day. I want to get into a couple of things that I think are related. They don't seem to be related on paper, but when you break them down, when you dig below the surface on these issues, you see that they're all intertwined. One of them is the Second Amendment and guns. And a little later this hour, probably in about a half an hour, Congressman Thomas Massey of Kentucky is promising when he gets out of one meeting, he'll jump on the phone and talk to us because he is a staunch defender of the Second Amendment. And despite the small group of Republicans who are saying, well, you know, maybe we should do something with a list, with red flags, with, you know, maybe we should take care of this problem. Despite this, maybe we should ban assault rifles. No, no, and no. The Second Amendment is so important to the future of this country being free. And I think Massey has one of the great defenses of it, and hopefully we'll get to talk to him about it. Now, as it relates to what Lindsey Graham's been talking about, Lindsey Graham has been, you know, kind of back and forth with me. I like Lindsey one day, and then I want to grab him by his tie and drag him around the halls of the Senate building and say, what are you doing? What in the heck are you doing? This red flag list, a red flag law, I'm against it. I hate to sound like a Groucho Marx in duck soup, but whatever it is, I'm against it. I said it when you bobos first commenced it. I'm against it. Lindsey Graham's idea of a red flag law is going to put us at the very top of a steep, slippery slope that's greased with moss by Democrats, and Chuck Schumer standing behind us waiting to push us down that slippery slope to total gun confiscation. What could possibly go wrong? I live in a communist socialist enclave in Delaware. I'm surrounded by people who believe it's time for us to try socialism because this whole capitalist thing hasn't worked. Really? Really? We have the greatest nation on the planet, we have the most prosperity, and you don't think this capitalist thing is working, so you think it's time to try socialism? If one of my neighbors who scowls at me when they see my lifetime NRA member sticker on the back of my car, if one of my neighbors had the opportunity to go into a judge and say, that guy, Opelka, I think he's at risk. I know he's got firearms. I know he has a concealed carry permit. I really don't feel safe around him. And you know what happens based on these red flag laws? Do you know what happens? They will then dispatch law enforcement to your home to collect your firearms, take them away from you before there can be any due process in your life, and you have to pay a lawyer. You have to defend yourself. You have to try and convince a judge that this is just an angry socialist neighbor. But the fact is, in the state, even the judges are probably closer to the blue side of the aisle than they are to the center, God forbid, the right side of the aisle. So now a constitutionally protected right is just a whim that can be dismissed. And yes, of course, I realize there are people who are violent people. There are people who are committing domestic crimes against their loved ones, and those people shouldn't have a gun. But the way they are structuring these proposals for these red flag laws, it's going to put rumor, allegation, whim, disagreement right on the front lines. It's going to squelch our Second Amendment. Imagine Rand Paul, who nearly died because a neighbor tackled him, knocked him down, broke his ribs, put him, and he had to go back in for some additional work this week during the break. He's getting fixed up. Kentucky's got a kind of a tough week, doesn't it, with its senators, with Mitch breaking his shoulder and Rand Paul having to go back in for additional surgery after the attack. What if Rand Paul's neighbor, now Rand Paul's probably got firearms at home. I'm sure he probably is a strong Second Amendment supporter. What if his neighbor, instead of tackling him, said, well, Rand Paul scares me. I want to raise a red flag. So now Rand Paul's going to have to defend himself? I doubt that would happen, but I'm just saying this is where this is headed. And you and I, as ordinary citizens, don't have the resources that our elected members of Congress, the House and the Senate, have. So we are in trouble. We're gonna get into this. You know what? I think, do I have time here, Michael Piercy, to grab a quick call? Mike in D.C. checking in with us. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant program. Another Mike here. We got a room full of mics. I got Michael Piercy here. You got me. Hello, sir.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you this Friday?
Pretty good. I just have a comment about universal background checks.
Yeah. Now, are you? One second. Before we go into this, I need a little history on you. Are you a gun owner?
I'd rather not say on the radio.
Okay. I mean, you know, you're a Mike. You're the most popular name in the white universe is Michael, but that's okay. So you want to talk about universal background checks? Go ahead.
Sure. The purpose of it is to force all gun transactions into a centralized database that's deployed to. The backdoor gun registration.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
The shootings aren't the problem. They're the symptom. We can talk about what the problem is, but that's going to require some pretty uncomfortable conversations that no one really wants to have.
Well, I think we know mental illness is the big problem, because when we look at the history of firearms in America, we had millions and millions of firearms in this country through the decades, and then suddenly... when society broke down and homes broke down, the nuclear family dissolved, we suddenly had this outbreak of violent children and violent adults. So we're going to get into the background checks with Thomas Massie just around the corner. So stick around for that if you would. I have to take a break. When we come back, Stephen in South Carolina has a bone to pick with me. Hang on, Stephen. I want to hear from you. Mike Opelka sitting in for my friend Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
So I got my X chair and was such a huge fan and had such an amazing result from it that I ended up getting them for my entire staff. And I got to tell you, there's never been anything that we've done that has boosted morale or gotten as much productivity out of our team as just giving them these X chairs. It's amazing. Every day people are coming in literally saying how much better they feel, how much longer they're able to work, how much more we're able to produce. And so it has really been a game changer for our agency, because literally people are staying at work longer and getting more out of their day because of a chair. I would have never thought that was possible.
With 21st Century Design, the X-Chair is now available for an incredible $100 off. Order today using the code X-Wheels to receive a free set of X-Wheels with your order. That's $100 off plus a free set of X-Wheels. Just use code X-Wheels at checkout. Feel better and get more done. Go to tryxchair.com. That's tryxchair.com. Or call us toll free at 844-4X-CHAIR. That's tryxchair.com or 844-4X-CHAIR.
Summer is here, and Matt's got the barbecue out all ready to grill. That's why he trusts Super Poly Grip, so he can enjoy his steak with full confidence.
Poly Grip!
Sounds like there's a party going on. But something's missing. The birthday gal's arrived. And thanks to Polydent, her bright smile is anything but a surprise.
Polydent!
Do you want the job done? Or the job done right? If you're hiring for your business, you want it done right. You want Glassdoor. Simply post your job on Glassdoor and just like that, it's available to over 67 million job seekers. Glassdoor only matches you with the best applicants, so you can find the right fit faster in half the resumes. Plus, they're 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. Hire better, hire faster. Start your free trial today at glassdoor.com/hire.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Youth vaping is a serious problem. One issue, minors may try to purchase vapor products online. That's why Juul Labs is enhancing age verification on our website. Customers must provide personal information or scan a valid ID with a real-time selfie. and are verified by a third party to ensure the purchaser is 21 or over. Learn more about Juul Labs' efforts to combat youth vaping at juul.com/youth-prevention. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only. Paid for by Juul Labs.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Mike Opelka in from my buddy Chris Plant here on the Chris Plant Show. Happy Friday. Hope you're having a happy Friday. I got off to a little bit of a rant, and now I stand accused. But I'm also open to listening. I love having civil discussions, and that's why I've asked Stephen in South Carolina to join the conversation. Stephen, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Do you have us on a speakerphone? Because that's like...
I just took you off, sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's
no problem.
Rule number one.
The reason I just wanted to kind of... I'm a gun owner. I'm on my way to the farm where I hunt. I have many guns. But to hear you talk about these red flag laws that a neighbor can turn you in, just you need to stop misinforming people.
How have I misinformed?
It's a family member that has to be the one, not a neighbor, not a nosy, nelly neighbor.
Well,
and
Stephen,
that's exactly what the left likes, is for people on the right to misinform people so they can jump on an attack.
Okay, hang on. One sec, Stephen. Because I have looked at this, and we'll get into the details. Right now there's no official legislation, but I have, in fact, read and heard from people who said family members, close friends, neighbors will be allowed. So I think we don't know enough yet.
You also read the National Enquirer.
No, I don't. That's unfair, Stephen.
Excuse me. My point may be off base, but you read things that aren't true. Okay?
You have
things in your life that are not true.
Sure.
There are 17 states currently with laws on the books where the neighbor cannot do that.
Okay.
And you're misinforming your broadcast public by telling them that.
I am alerting people to the fact that if we create a national red flag law, we have to be aware that, background checks.
That's called fear mongering.
No, it's not.
And the left does it very well And I call it out when they do it. I'm going to call it out when you do it.
Well, we're gonna agree to disagree until such time as the law is actually on the books.
So you continue to peddle misinformation.
I'm going to no.
Of all things, the Chris Plant show.
No,
you're
Stephen.
Doing it on his show.
No, Stephen. There are lawmakers who want your neighbor to be able to raise.
I want in one hand and actually get things done in the other. That's where you're missing things. You're wanting to place things in the want list. Okay, they want a single-payer system in health care. That's not going to happen.
Off topic. Off topic, Stephen. You're
have a good day. You're a loser. Right.
Thank you. And you're not even a family member. That's what really disturbs me. I hope you have a good day hunting, though. I'm glad you're hunting. There is a group of lawmakers who do, in fact, want to have neighbors have the right, the ability, people who know you, people you work with, co-workers, to raise a red flag. Hopefully Tom, who has some experience in law enforcement, will talk to us about background checks and misinformation, maybe clarify something I said that's misleading or not. Mike Opelka in for my friend Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Mike Opelka is my name, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant. If you want to know more, follow me on the Twitters at StuntBrain, all one word, StuntBrain. It's a long story. It's been with me for 30 years, so just accept it. At StuntBrain, we have sort of lit it up today early, talking about what is being bandied about in terms of the Second Amendment and this red flag discussion and background checks, yada, yada, yada. I just got roasted from a non-family member from South Carolina who thinks I'm lying. We'll get to that. Tom is holding from Woodbridge. Tom, a former law enforcement person. Thank you for your service, sir. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Yeah, thank you. Wanted to explain, you know, this other gentleman, I didn't hear his whole commentary there because I was talking with your call screener, but it was based on the earlier one. I want to put something forward. It sounds very reasonable, and it would work if there weren't such devious plans on part of some of them trying to press this. Let's go back to New York. This is after Sandy Hook. They passed a law there that, if you remember, they started passing laws in some of the states, and New York passed a law, and it sounded reasonable. The NRA fought it because of they saw loopholes in this. They saw that it would be abused, and it turned out they were right, unfortunately. They passed this law saying anyone seeking psychological counseling would, the counselor, whether it be psychologist, psychiatrist, whatever, would have to fill out a form reporting and then determining, making a determination whether they felt this person posed a threat to themselves or others. Okay, I'm for that if that's done properly, but here's what happened. And I never did hear the outcome. This is the problem. We have such a bad press. We have such a political activist press.
That's right.
They go after narratives rather than informing the public. We didn't get this through the mainstream media. I got this through other reporting and then looked into it and found it was true. New York City homicide detective, retired, well-decorated officer, going through some problems, or illness in his family and some other things, and he was feeling depressed, reasonably so. Went to the psychologist. Psychologist, you know, is treating him, talking to him, you know, just treating his counseling. And he fills out the form, and he writes, and he said, you know, no threat to himself or others. You know, he's just going through normal kind of depression. This isn't clinical depression. It's just things, you know, anybody would be depressed going through what he's going through.
Sure.
He submits it. 3 days later, the state police show up at his house and confiscate his guns. And he's like, what the heck is this? Goes back to the counselor, back to the psychologist, and said, well, what did you tell them? You know, they came and confiscated my gun. He goes, what? No, I yeah, we have to fill out this form, but I said you're no threat to anybody. The counselor even called on his behalf. They contacted state police. State police wouldn't talk to him, said we were ordered to confiscate the guns. They followed this all the way up to Cuomo's office and said, wait a minute, I don't know how this happened. Did your guys mismark it when they put it in the computer, whatever? We don't know. And that's the thing is, news media never did a report, so we never figured out exactly what happened. But they confiscated his guns, even though they, based on their own law, there was no justification for doing so. And then this officer insisted he gets his gun back. Cuomo's, the response from Cuomo's office was not only no, but hell no. And he had to sue them to try to get his guns back. So the very first time they enacted this thing, they tried to enforce it, they violated their own law.
Well,
and if they're willing to do that to a decorated police officer, what do you think they're going to do to the average citizen? And I'm speaking to you as a former Chicago cop. I'm worried, too. I'm all in favor of some of these things. We need the you know, we're talking about expanding the background check. No, it's already expanded. The problem is it's broken, and there's nothing in there that looks at psychological record. Here was an attempt to actually fix that and do something about it, and they perverted it right out of the gate.
Tom,
this is the problem.
Tom, you're so right. And two things. As a former Southsider, thank you for serving that city. It was a great city. It's having troubles now, and it breaks my heart. Thank you for bringing clarity to this, and I hope you have a great weekend, sir. The reality here is Cuomo is drooling. He is drooling, salivating like Pavlov's dog with somebody ringing the bell over and over again. He wants a list. He wants a list of people who have psychological treatments. He wants a list of anybody who wants to purchase a firearm. He wants a list. This sounds more like China and their social credit scores to me than anything. We'll get into that. I got to take a break. If all of you holding, please hold. We're going to get to you. We're going to talk about this. We also have Congressman Massey going to talk to us about his take on what's happening and what laws may or may not get shoved down our throats as relates to your Second Amendment. Mike Opelka sitting in for my friend Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
Plants capture CO2. What if we could help industrial plants capture it too? Think how we could help lower emissions. More and more scientists think carbon capture is key to reducing CO2 emissions globally. It's one way ExxonMobil is helping industrial plants be more like plants. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil.
I never get sick. Never taken a sick day. I'm not going to let a little thing like a 100-degree fever stop my business. You know what really makes me sick? Downtime. You know the cure to downtime? Grainger. With same-day pickup, next-day delivery options, and time-saving inventory solutions, Grainger keeps our facility running and fit as a fiddle. Some people go to the doctor. I go to America's trusted source for industrial supplies. Because Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you want the job done or the job done right? If you're hiring for your business, you want it done right. You want Glassdoor. Simply post your job on Glassdoor and just like that, it's available to over 67 million job seekers. Glassdoor only matches you with the best applicants, so you can find the right fit faster in half the resumes. Plus, they're 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. Hire better, hire faster. Start your free trial today at Glassdoor.com/hire.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Michael Pelka is my name, in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show. I've been called a lot of things this morning. Some not too flattering. We'll deal with that. I have pretty thick skin as one of nine kids, you know, you develop that. We're waiting on Thomas Massie, our congressman from the 4th District of Kentucky, to talk about the red flag laws, etc. And while we wait for him, let's get some of the clarity from some of you holding Bill in Chantilly on the phone. Bill, you wanted to share something with Stephen. And by the way, Stephen is still listening. He's tweeting bad things about me. He's calling me names on the Twitter.
I would expect nothing less from him. The actual fact of the matter, he was the one peddling false information. The vast majority of the 17 states that do have red flag laws do allow family, friends, and neighbors to turn you in if they think you are a danger. In the case of Maryland, it can be an anonymous person that doesn't even know you that well that can turn you in.
That seems fair, doesn't it? Yeah, that's it. You can write a note and slip it under the door at the courthouse, and they can go take your guns
away. Colorado, it's even worse. Colorado, I can see something you post online on your Facebook or social media account and can call the authorities in Colorado, and they'll come investigate you over it.
We have a tattletale state upon us these days.
Okay. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, and quite frankly, I think all of these red flag laws are unconstitutional. I mean, they violate your Second Amendment. They violate your right to due process. They violate the right to confront your accuser because you're not allowed to confront the person that turns you in most of them.
Yeah, see, this is
what... they're unconstitutional.
And Bill, yeah, I think we're probably going to have to make that argument in court, sadly. I was hoping it wouldn't get that far, but I think we're going to have to get that far. I got to rock and roll here. Thank you, Bill, for chiming in. John in D.C. is checking in. John, welcome to the program. You're calling me out on my manners?
Well, I want to digress a bit. Given what just happened to Rand Paul... at the hands of his neighbor.
Yeah.
It should be easy for anyone to understand, including that caller. I think his name was Steve. I'm not sure.
Yes, sir. Steven from South Carolina.
Thought that neighbors were excluded from the red flag reporting. Obviously, that's not true. Look at what just happened to Rand Paul.
That's a good point.
We had another caller named Mike. Same first name, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he was paranoid. He didn't want to tell you whether or not he was a gun owner or where he was. Well, you kind of were condescending towards Mike. You said, okay, Mike. Well, you know, Mike is a very common first name.
Yeah, I was a little snarky with him. I admit that because...
But here's the point. From a technological standpoint, there is third-party caller ID. Anytime someone calls a radio station, a call-in show, or anything, if there was an entity, governmental entity or otherwise, police organization or otherwise, that was interested, there is third-party caller ID. Now, in 2019, that's basic technology.
So you're saying that if I had told or sort of forced Mike to tell us his...
Well,
couldn't
force him.
I know,
but
if I had badgered him into doing it, you're saying that law enforcement could come back in and track through our phone system his number and then go to his house and find out if, in fact, he did or didn't.
That's basic technology.
I know, but it's a little... We're feeling like we're back in this China thing, as I said, with
no,
the social credit score.
What is technologically available today is computer technology. I'm not saying that it's happening or that he has any degree of attention drawn to him that would have that happen as a threshold idea. But it is basic technology in 2019.
And so are you telling me I should have been a little kinder to him and respected
his
wishes?
Okay. Absolutely. But what I'm actually trying to get at in a nuanced way is whether or not you're even aware that technology exists, and it's very basic in 2019.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, as radio stations, I've worked in radio and TV and mostly radio for the past 35 years, and the caller ID is one of the greatest technologies for radio, especially when we deal with people who don't work and play well with others.
Correct, but I'm trying to explain to you it's not just two-way. It's also third-party possible. Third-party possible. It's not just between the caller and the station that they're calling to make their remarks over the air. It's also third-party caller ID.
Okay. I'm with you.
You understand?
I'm totally with you. But, you know, we gave up all of that security when they built that server farm in Utah that listens to...
So I was just curious as to whether or not you're aware of the possibilities. And that today, in today's days and times, it's ordinary technology. It's not Star Wars. It's not...
John, we're together on this. And to tell you how aware I am, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I visited... The giant property in Utah where the servers for the NSA are located. I tried to drive within a mile of the building and was suddenly met by white SUVs asking me if I was lost. So, yeah, I'm aware that they're aware.
Okay, good, because I was starting to wonder about you.
Okay. No, don't worry about me. But I thank you. You know what? I appreciate you calling me out on my condescending nature. But I have a black belt in snark. Again, it's a gift from being one of nine kids. So it's hard sometimes to suppress it, especially when the opportunity comes up. But thank you, John. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. And I think we got him. I know I don't have a whole lot of time, but Congressman Thomas Massie, a gentleman I respect greatly for not only his legislative acumen, his brains, but his technological acumen. He's a guy who who kind of lives off the grid. He's one of the most interesting people I've ever met in our government and one of the brightest minds I've run into. Congressman, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. I'm just, I got a short window, as do you. I want to know, am I paranoid, worried about these red flag laws that could allow neighbors, coworkers, et cetera, to go to a judge and say, I'm scared of that guy, take his gun away?
No, these are ripe for abuse. They're almost designed for abuse. They're going to be abused. They have been abused. And it's you're guilty until you can prove you're innocent. Once your neighbor snitches on you, maybe they're upset about your dog pooped in their driveway or something, and they're going to call you in. It's the same people that are reporting you on Facebook when you post something they don't like. And some of the red flag laws are written. They say, oh, well, don't worry. It can only be a family member or a police officer. Well, the person's going to call the police and say, this person's dangerous, and then the police officer, who has no idea who you are, is going to turn you in. It's not paranoia. It's genuine concern. These are bad laws. They're not going to work. They're going to keep people from seeking treatment who need treatment. There are already laws on the books that allow authorities to commit somebody to a mental facility for 3 days if they think you're a harm to yourself or others. But that's the way it should work. That's the only thing that can work. If somebody needs help, don't go agitate them in a no-knock raid and take one or two of their guns. Get them some help.
That's a great point. It's a logical point. How dare you bring logic into this discussion where so many people are bringing their feelings into it? Congressman, what about background checks? I have to pass a background check every time I purchase a firearm. What are they going to add to the background checks, or what are they trying to add to background checks?
Well, first of all, you can't enforce a ban on private gun transfers, which is what they're talking about when they say universal background check. They want to make it sure that an individual can't sell it to another individual without going through an FFL. And so the only way you could enforce that is to have a gun registry, right? How do you know that I ended up with a gun or somebody else ended up with a gun or the gun model did we go through a background check? You've got to have a gun registry. There's concern about that. The other thing is, show me which shooting it would have stopped. Which shooting? I am upset with legislators who are proposing unserious solutions that have nothing to do with these shootings, and they're using the shootings and the victims as the platform to promote their gun control, and they know it won't do anything to stop the shootings.
Yeah, this is all about political points leading up to a 2020 campaign season, it feels like to me.
The other thing, Mike, the left likes to say, oh, 3.5 million denials through the instant background check system since it was instituted. Well, guess what? 95% of those were false positives, more than 95%.
Clerical errors.
The conviction rate, it's like maybe a few dozen each year, but they brag that there are millions being denied the purchase of a firearm in the background check. And I've been trying to get the data from the ATF. You'd think we could get it now that Trump is president, on how these background checks disproportionately affect minorities and deprive them of the ability to buy a gun because let's say African-American young males share the same name with other African-American young males who are in jail, and they don't use all the information on the form you fill out, the 4473, when you buy a firearm. I can guarantee you that the denials, the false denials, are disproportionately affecting minorities, and I wish they would give us the data.
Well, the data is vital and critical, and I wish I had hours to talk to you, Congressman. You are a bright light, and I appreciate your honesty on all these topics. His name is Thomas Massey. He represents the 4th District in Kentucky, and follow him on Twitter. He has a clear, honest discussion virtually every day, and I appreciate you, sir. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter, look for the hashtag Sassy with Massey. Sassy with a Y, Massey with an IE.
Sassy with Massey. He's got a great sense of humor. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
And there he goes, Congressman Thomas Massey. I hope he brought clarity. I've still got like 2 minutes left. I think I can hit a couple of these calls that have been waiting online. Let's go to We just talked about that. I got to go back to South Carolina because I was used and abused there. Jason in South Carolina, you've got the floor as we wrap up this first hour.
Good morning, sir. Well, I tell you what, I love Tom Matthews.
Isn't he the best? He's just so cool.
Very briefly, just two quick ones. You know, in regards to that guy that called him from South Carolina,
yeah.
Let's say he's right, which he's not. Give him the benefit of the doubt and say that, yes, only a family member can call a red flag on you. We don't even want that. I mean, think about all the people in this country that don't get along with family members. You got disgruntled wives, crazy uncles, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. I've got, I have four sisters who are near and dear to my heart. One of them, Jason, is a hoplophobe. That's your SAT word of the day, hoplophobe. It is someone who goes apoplectic, another SAT word, when they hear about a gun, when they see a gun. If they were to touch a gun, we would have to get the EpiPen out or the paddles to revive them. And, God forbid, my sister got mad at me because we argued over an episode of Columbo that we were watching on MeTV. She might call and report me and say that I'm a threat to myself and others. So it's very disturbing the direction this is going. And I love the way this audience has responded on this topic on the left, on the right, in the middle. And I appreciate you being here. Michael Pelka, in for my friend Chris Plant. You can join the conversation, 888-630-9625. We have a lot more to get to, including a final update on China from Gordon Chang, the man around the corner on the Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.